A new day and the possibility of yet another Toyota recall. The automaker says it's taking a close look at its top-selling model. Here's reporter Jeff Gilbert of CBS station WWJ in Detroit.
Toyota's decision to look at power steering problems on the Corolla comes after complaints that the vehicles can start veering in the wrong direction. Toyota's quality control chief said they're still not sure exactly what may be wrong or how many cars may be affected, so it's too early to say if there will be a recall. The Corolla is the world's best-selling car.
Toyota President Akio Toyoda announcing all new models will carry a brake override system. And Toyota said he will not attend a Capitol Hill hearing on Toyota's safety problems. He says he will leave answering the questions to the company's U.S. executives. And California Republican Congressman Daryl Issa says there will be some sharp questions for them next week.
Why they weren't quicker and whether there needs to be congressional action to force greater transparency between all auto companies and the government.
Toyota is facing the possibility of fines for not notifying the government of the problem soon enough. In southern Afghanistan, thousands of U.S., British, and Afghan forces are continuing an operation to drive the Taliban from its stronghold. CBS News correspondent Mandy Clark is traveling with one Marine unit.
Road by road, house by house, coalition forces are picking their way through Marja, a town that's become a minefield. Coalition officials say the fighting is dying down, but they are finding a huge number of booby traps. Most are safely detonated. The insurgents often hide in nearby houses and trigger the bomb when a military vehicle is passing. But sometimes there are bombs hidden in houses too, so the Marines attach a small charge and what could have been a deadly trap is reduced to a pile of rubble. Mandy Clark, CBS News, Marja.
And I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. This fight for Marja will be at the top of the agenda when President Obama holds an extraordinary review of the policy in Afghanistan and Pakistan. The administration's anti-terror strategy in the region is being put to the test, described by spokesman Robert Gibbs.
We are no doubt prosecuting the war against Al-Qaeda and its extremist allies in a way that hasn't been seen before.
Virtually every top defense, foreign policy, and intelligence official will be in the White House Situation Room or online from the war zone, Nick.
In a move to repair relations with Syria, Undersecretary of State William Burns is in Damascus for talks with Syrian President Assad and the country's foreign minister. The visit follows by one day President Obama's nomination of the first ambassador to Syria in 5 years. At the Winter Olympics in Vancouver, the U.S. has fallen behind Germany in the medal count. German athletes have collected 9 to 8 for the Americans. And today, as CBS's Steve Futterman reports, U.S. alpine skiing hopes are high.
Last week, Lindsey Vonn wasn't even sure she would compete in the Olympics.
It's probably the worst place that you can have an injury.
Vonn was recovering from a severely bruised shin. Today, she is set to take part in the most important women's alpine event, the downhill.
I'm really hoping that everything I've worked for pays off.
Before her injury, Lindsey Vonn was the clear favorite. No American woman has ever won the Olympic downhill.
I'm Heather Bosch in Vancouver. We're getting a picture of the cauldron.
You have to use a good lens.
Or even a glimpse is tricky.
And get past the chain link. It's a little difficult.
Perhaps we did underestimate the degree to which people would want to get closer to it.
The Vancouver Games' Renee Smith-Vallade says the chain link fence blocking the cauldron is...
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow, they're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snowplows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
1-4447. That's 303-871-4447.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I enjoyed AM 760.net. A brash humor that made up for his constant references to a former L.A. life. The retinue of women who supposedly still called him long distance every night. His past football exploits. The celebrities he knew.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Out of many, we are one. That while we breathe, we hope. And where we are met with cynicism and doubt, and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can.
Wednesday, February 17th. It is the Bill Press Show, and I am not Bill Press. I am Peter Ogburn, sitting in for Bill today. I will be here the rest of the week. You have been warned. Bill will be back next week. Just take a little time off. And I don't blame him, frankly. The snow in D.C. still, it's just like...
It's sticking around.
You know what's happening now? The snow is still here. The snow was cute for a little while. It was kind of fun. And then you lose power. And then it's not so much fun.
But if you don't lose power, it is a lot of fun. I had a great time during the blizzard.
Shut up. I had a terrible time.
Pay your power bill on time.
Yes, right. So now, I mean, the snow is just sort of hanging around, and you've got these walls of snow. And honestly, it's doing a real number on just my disposition, just in general. I'm just a cranky MF these days, man.
I'm only a cranky MF because of the potholes that have come.
Oh,
after
my God.
The snow.
I thought...
Those suck.
Honest to God, I thought I lost a tire yesterday.
Yeah.
When I was going home, I was convinced that I had just blown a tire.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that the people in Buffalo and Minnesota and other places that get lots of snow look at us and just say, you bunch of babies. But I don't care, man. I'm going to whine and I'm going to cry about it because that's what I am, a big, gigantic, big baby. I don't care. I'm just ready for the snow to leave. I don't want to see it on the side of the roads. I don't want to see it stacked up. That's me. That's me. So anyway, thank you all for joining us. I'm sorry to be such a sourpuss.
Oh, well. Have you tried to go to the supermarket and this stuff recently?
Oh, my God.
One, there's nowhere to park anymore because they've built these Everests.
It's like Mount Snow. Yeah, that's the thing. It's all filthy now.
Yeah. And it's all because, like, they're all walled in on all sides. It's like a labyrinth of dirty snow.
It's crazy. And it's in former parking lot or parking spaces, so now everyone's jockeying for a good parking spot.
It's bringing out the worst in everybody.
I can only imagine this is what it's like in Russia all the time.
Russians are actually happier than us.
Chaos and snow everywhere, dirty snow everywhere.
They just drink vodka.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe that's what I should be doing.
There you go.
Anyway, it's the third hour of our program. Peter Ogburn sitting in with... sitting in for Bill Press today. Dan Henning running the board. Mr. Henning, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Nice to see you. Screening your calls is Stevie Webb.
Good morning, sir.
Well, this is very exciting. I always pay half attention to this when it comes around every year because I really honestly don't care. But it's sort of interesting. We have a winner at the Westminster Kennel Dog Show.
Sadie the Scotty.
Everyone's loving it.
Oh, listen, my God. Everyone's so excited.
A long history of success.
And the Sadie Maniacs out there.
The best.
Sadiacs.
The best. Sadie the Scotty.
Sadie the Scotty.
Not
best in
her.
Show.
What you gonna do?
Stop it. Anyway, so there you go. Now you have that news. And I want to get into another piece of news in just a moment. So Sarah Palin is at war again. With someone who, well, they're making fun of her child with
special needs. That's all I'll say. We'll play the clip. We'll talk about it in just a second. But first,
this is the Full Court Press.
All other headlines making news. John Mayer still looking for redemption from his recent off-color remarks in Playboy magazine in the French article, but he won't be able to talk about it on the nation's biggest talk show. Oprah denying the singer time on her couch to talk about it because she's close friends with his ex, Jennifer Aniston, and he said some choice words about her. Source tells PopEater.com the talk queen would only consider it if John were to have a very, very deep conversation about race, women, and fame.
Everybody's going to answer to Oprah. I like Oprah just fine, but the idea that she's this authority on all things... Starting to get a little old.
Might tennis star Serena Williams be looking to do your nails in her downtime? The star tells Radar Online she gets a manicure every 4 days and a pedicure every 7. And since she loves it so much, she wants to become a nail technician herself. She has gone so far as to enroll in a 240-hour program to be certified to do nails in the state of Florida.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
And to the surprise of many, ratings for the Olympics are up 16% over 4 years ago in Italy. 32.6 million watching the opening ceremonies last Friday. Just 22 million watched the same 4 years ago in Turin. NBC is still expecting a loss for the carrying the games, but now not as big as they originally had planned for.
Oh, well, that's just so exciting. I'm not watching. I mean, I watched a little bit of it.
I watched curling last night. It was awesome.
I know that curling is the butt of many jokes.
It's not. I'm not making a joke. I'm actually serious.
It's not fun to watch.
I watched curling with my gumbo, and I liked the curling. It was fun.
It's. Anyway,
I find it fascinating.
So Sarah Palin has now become the ambassador for all things mentally retarded. Just like I was saying, Oprah is now. Everyone has to answer to Oprah about race and saying things that are out of line. They have to come out and answer to Oprah. Anybody who says anything at all about mentally retarded or retarded, Sarah Palin now has to, Sarah Palin has to weigh in. Everyone goes to Sarah Palin to see what she thinks about it. Now, I think that, look, a lot of this came from Rahm Emanuel said and referred to liberal activists as effing retards. Okay, so that's not an accepted term. All right, I get it. You shouldn't call people retards in the derogatory sense. Fine. Sarah Palin went out after Rahm. Rush Limbaugh essentially did the same thing when he was talking about Rahm and says Rahm called them effing retards because they are effing retards. Sarah Palin said that was okay because that was satire. Well, now we get into a whole new realm here, and I want to get your take on this. 866-55-PRESS is our phone number, 866-557-7377. So Family Guy is a TV show on Fox, employer of Sarah Palin, by the way, and they are known for pushing the envelope and very edgy humor, and frankly, I think it's a little played out, but this is what they had on their show the other night.
It's going to be a bit rude all evening. You haven't asked me anything about myself.
So what do your parents do?
That's better. My dad's an accountant, and my mom is the former governor of Alaska.
Oh, that's cool.
It's real cool.
Okay. So, I get the joke. All right. I'm not a humorless individual. Frankly, you have a really hard time finding anything that would offend me. I'm not offended by much. I actually find this a little offensive. They're clearly taking a dig at Sarah Palin's son, who has Down syndrome. And the scene is one of the characters of Family Guy is having dinner with this character who it has an affliction, Down syndrome, or however they're trying to portray it, and saying, you know, sort of making fun and saying that that his mother, her mother, is the governor, former governor of Alaska. I'm not cool with that. I'm not. I don't think that making fun of retarded babies is accepted. Sorry, crazy kooky zany nutty me. I think that's sort of off limits. I think that politicians' kids should be off limits until they put themselves out in the limelight. Bristol Palin has all of a sudden become the champion of abstinence-only education. And I think that if people want to make fun of Bristol Palin, fine. She's old enough to have a child. She's got a family. So the people that say, lay off Bristol Palin, I don't buy that. She's old enough and has put herself out there. But we're talking about a child with Down syndrome that they think it's okay to make fun of. 866-55-PRESS, 866-557-7377. Am I being sensitive here? I don't think I am. I mean, I find some really inappropriate things funny. And yet I find this to be in really, really poor taste. 866-55-PRESS. Sarah Palin has spoken out on this. She says, quote, it feels like a kick in the gut. She says that the creators and the writers of the show are, quote, heartless jerks. And frankly, I kind of agree with Palin. I mean, making fun of the mentally handicapped is sort of not cool in my book. 866-55-PRESS is my phone number, 866-557-7377. I really want to get your take on this, because if I'm wrong, let me know, but I think it's off limits. 866-55-PRESS is Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press. We'll be right back.
I still believe we can do great things, and that here and now we will meet history's test.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation.
Because that's who we are. That is our calling. That is our character.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Are you burdened with $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Struggling to get your life in order? Let us help by settling your debt. Imagine living a stress-free lifestyle that you deserve. If you are currently working and can afford making monthly payments, call our professionals today for a no-obligation analysis. Call 1-800-240-DEBT, 1-800-240-3328. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you owe it to yourself and your family. Call Debt-Free Stimulus today at 1-800-240-3328. The government is bailing out the banks. Now it's your turn. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt and are currently working but struggling to pay your bills, you may qualify for one of our partners' debt settlement programs. Call Debt-Free Stimulus today at 1-800-240-DEBT, 1-800-240-3328. Get your life back on track. You deserve it.
No one made me see red, burning red eyes. They didn't look healthy, and they didn't feel healthy. I knew it couldn't be healthy. Every time my eyes got this way, I got irritated. But now, I've opened my eyes to Clear Eyes.
Clear Eyes brand redness relief drops clear away redness with a fast-acting redness reliever and extra moisturizers that provide a healthy, moist environment, the way nature intended, for up to 8 hours of soothing comfort.
Everything's looking better now.
Clear Eyes redness relief drops for eyes the way nature intended. Use as directed.
Standing next to me is power sports fanatic Larry. He has a passion for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. His second passion is saving money, so he reuses everything, including food.
You make it sound gross.
He uses fast food grease to power his car.
Everything smells like fries.
And reuses toothpaste.
It's not good if you're squeamish.
But you don't have to be like Larry, because GEICO makes it easy by helping you save on power sports insurance. To see how much you could save, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-442-9253.
Turn right in 1/2 mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now.
But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund, guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help to stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
It's not an asset. You may not want to diversify. You may not want to invest in 401ks or mutual funds. Saving money will never make you rich. These are just some of Rich Dad's teachings that will change the way you think about money. Attend this free Rich Dad Education Training, Monday, February 22nd through Wednesday, the 24th. Reserve your place now at richdadeducation.com or call 800-489-4213. Register now and receive a free gift just for attending. 800-489-4213. That's 800-489-4213.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
You gonna be this rude all evening? You haven't asked me anything about myself.
So what do your parents do?
That's better. My dad's an accountant, and my mom is the former governor of Alaska.
Oh, that's cool.
It's real cool.
This is the Bill Press Show.
There it is. That is the clip that has ignited a firestorm. Sarah Palin, not happy with that portrayal of a retarded person or someone with a mental handicap. Saying that their mother is the governor of Alaska, she's come out and said it was heartless and feels like a kick in the gut. Look, guys, I'm sorry. I find some of the most horrible things funny. I'm sorry. I just do. Very few things offend me. That's just how it is. I have a very sick sense of humor. Some of you will never know that. But I just think that this is just way far off the reservation. I mean, ay, ay, ay. Let's go to David in Blaine, Washington. David, welcome to the Bill Press Show.
Hey, thanks a lot. Great show.
Thanks so much.
You know, I think it is in poor taste on one hand, but then on the other hand, it speaks more about Sarah Palin's hypocrisy and double standard than anything else, especially on the heels of, you know, the latest flap between Rush Limbaugh and Rahm Emanuel and that whole retard thing. It's like, you know, and then she'll try to see the irony in things. I mean, she's always bitching and complaining about something. You know what I mean?
I hear that, but I still don't get the joke. Why is it funny to have someone who clearly has an affliction, and they're not the joke, the smart humor is not there?
Right. I'm not saying it's funny, but our whole culture, for example, all the comedy on Comedy Central, for crying out loud, is supposed to be filtered. And it's not, you know, and little kids could, you know, do all the inappropriate jokes that are made on there. I mean, I'm not trying to sound overly sensitive myself, but I think it just speaks more to Sarah Palin, because she's used Trigg as a prop on stage since she was unveiled.
I hear that, and a lot of people say that she's using Trigg as a prop. I don't know that I'm going to go that far. I mean, it is her kid. She brings him out on stage. Whether or not you agree with that is one thing. But I don't think that excuses, I don't think that opens the door to comedy about his Down syndrome. I don't think it's funny. If you want to make inappropriate jokes that are in poor taste, which I am a connoisseur of, at least make them funny, for God's sake. Emily in Minneapolis. Emily, welcome to the Bill Press Show.
Oh, thank you. I see this a little differently, because I see this as a broad, broad swipe at the developmentally delayed individuals with any kind of diagnosis, whether it's Down syndrome or whether it's some other form of handicap.
Right.
And the thing is, I worked one time as a volunteer with a group of what they called them retarded individuals at a daycare center at one time. Heard teachers teasing these people and heard one young man say, "I'm retarded, I'm not stupid." And that struck me so deeply, because you can hurt people and you can hurt an entire group of people with thoughtless comments.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks so much for the call, Emily. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Stu calling in Asheville, North Carolina. Stu, listening on 880 The Revolution down there. Stu, welcome to the show.
Hi, Peter. Thank you. I enjoy your show all the time.
Hey, thanks so much, Stu. What's your take on this Family Guy bit on Sarah Palin and Trigg?
Well, I watched the clip this morning, and I wasn't offended at all. The headline that led me to it said, Family Guy mocks Trig, and the clip didn't seem to do that at all. The character that was mentally disabled seemed to be smarter than Chris, the other character, and she wasn't a boy, and she wasn't a baby, and so it didn't have a lot to do with Trig.
Well, who were they making fun of?
It seemed like they were making fun of Chris, the other character.
I don't get it. I mean, I don't get the joke.
Funny, but it's the Family Guy.
Okay, well, if you're going to go out on a limb, right, and you're going to go out and you're going to do some edgy humor, make it funny. Make it funny. That's all I ask. I mean, if you're going to go out there just to push the envelope, just for the sake of pushing the envelope, then, you know, it doesn't work. Let's go to, Mike in Chicago. Mike, welcome to the Bill Press Show.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, now.
You know what? I've been watching this show from its very inception, and Seth MacFarlane's very smart, and I think it was very methodically played. He waited until Sarah Palin said, oh, as long as it's in humor and jest, that's fine. So he played that card and said, okay, my show's humor and jest.
And that's that's a good point. I mean, I get the whole satire thing, and that he's trying to make it funny, but, again, I don't think it's funny.
No, I understand. If some people find it in poor taste, that being, but, you know, when did Sarah Palin get a case of the morals when she was telling Obama's children that your father's palling around with terrorists? When did she get a case of the morals all of a sudden that she is the measuring bar for what morals are?
But here's what I'm saying. Here's my point on this. My point is not that I'm so offended that they would go there. I mean, if they want to go there, go there and make a point and use satire to make a joke. But it just looks like they're just making fun of a retarded person or a person who's mentally handicapped just for the sake of doing it. There's no humor. There's nothing there. Tom in Chicago, welcome to the Bill Press Show. Tom, how's it going?
It's going good. I sort of echo that same thought there and, you know, would add that first of all, Sarah Palin is the one who has been trotting her family out for her own political gain since, you know, she took the stage a year ago, and, you know, uses that baby despicably with no voice of its own. So Seth finally gave this kid a voice and all handicapped people a voice.
Tom, I couldn't disagree with you more. First of all, politicians bring their kids onto stage with them. That's part of what they do. They show that they have a family. And I'm fine with it. I have no problem with that. I have a problem with attacking the kids and trying to make the kids out to be like they are running for office, especially one with a mental handicap. I'm just not okay with that if you're not going to be funny and you're not going to be clever. You know, you can't just – it would be like just saying – if they're just pointing out that this person is retarded and Sarah Palin has a retarded baby. I'm sorry. 866-55-PRESS is our phone number. 866-557-7377. Congressman John Dingell coming up next.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Hi, it's Bill Press here. Did you know that 100 million Americans have borderline cholesterol? 100 million. That's almost a country. So what should you do to avoid cholesterol problems? Well, first, like me, you ought to go to your doctor and get checked out every year. I mean, you don't want something like high cholesterol sneaking up on you. And while you're at the doctor's, ask them about garlic. Garlic's clinically proven ingredient helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels. Garlic guarantees the effectiveness of its ingredients, so it's not surprising that pharmacists recommend it the most. And unlike other brands, you only have to take one garlic capsule a day, not five or six. Garlic is also very safe. It's all natural, and thankfully, it's also tasteless and odor-free. So remember, if you want to avoid cholesterol problems, eat right, exercise, and take garlic. Look for garlic in the vitamin aisle of your pharmacy and use as directed. Fight higher cholesterol. Eat right, exercise, and take garlic.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo, I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you and everyone else.
Everyone!
While you're online, check out progressive.com today for a free quote. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM 760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19, only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Talk about climate change. Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems, a winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text SPEAKUP to 411-247.
Sure.
DEX One. Marketing solutions. Business results. Take your business up a notch. Call 1-877-4DEX now.
Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems, a winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
A brighter day for your children begins with you. Shop local first. You'll help your community thrive, and by not shipping goods long distances, you'll save fuel and reduce emissions.
Get more earth-saving tips at am760.net, keyword green, sponsored by Clorox Greenworks.
Listen to AM760 on your cell phone. Just download the app at am760.net.
Show Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press today, 33 minutes past the hour. Have I mentioned that you should go pick up a bag of Bill's Brew from BillPressShow.com? It's the only union-grown, American-grown coffee with proceeds going to Partners for the Americas, a very nice charity that Bill has selected. So go check it out, get yourself some coffee, and get some for your friends and the coffee drinkers in your life. Joining us now, Congressman John Dingell from the 15th District of Michigan. Congressman, Chairman, how you doing?
Good morning. I'm fine. I hope you are.
I'm doing just great, and I have to thank you so much for joining me. I know Bill is out, and I'm happy to have you on.
I'm sure he has an adequate replacement, and I have no worries about that.
That's your first mistake, Congressman. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Listen, thanks so much. I want to start off with health care. Tell me, this is sort of an open-ended question. Where are we with health care? Everyone just sort of just fell off the face of the earth after the election of Scott Brown. Where are we now?
Well, it didn't fall off the face of the earth. Scott Brown's election was not about health care. It has caused us considerable problems
right. In
that Republicans are now going around crowing that they have a 41-59 majority, in that we no longer have on this side the easy capability of addressing a filibuster, because, as you know, the Senate has degraded itself and become a body that has to have everything decided by 60 votes or perhaps by unanimous consent. So this has made huge problems. There will be a meeting at the White House, as you know, on the 25th, when the president is bringing all of the parties that he can together for a discussion of how it is we could come together on this matter.
Let me ask you this, Chairman, about that meeting. I want to ask you, do you trust the Republicans? I mean, don't you think we've given them enough chances to play nice on health care?
Well, in my judgment, we have.
Okay.
But it never hurts.
Okay.
To give a fellow one last chance. Having said that, I think it is important that we begin to work together. That is, after all, the Founding Fathers' decision as to how this place should work, by cooperation, coordination, conciliation, and things of that kind. And we're hopeful that the Republicans will do this. Now, the Democrats are going to meet with them, and the president, I'm sure, is going to stand on principles, but he wants to bring the Republicans into the process. And I think it's important that we have them there. But if they don't, there are still mechanisms available to us, including the reconciliation process, which will make it possible for us to write a health care package. And remember, the need is urgent. Health care costs here twice what they are elsewhere in the world. 40-some thousand people die every year for want of health care. Bankruptcies, find that one of their major causes is health care. We have 45 million or 46 or 47 million Americans without any health care. Our system is going up so fast that by the year 2080, it'll take every nickel that we generate in this country to pay for health care costs.
Well,
we simply cannot look at that anymore.
Let me ask you this. Since it's so important, and as you just illustrated, there are so many people who need it, what do you think about over in the Senate, a letter has been put together by Jeff Merkley, Sherrod Brown, Michael Bennett, and Kirsten Gillibrand begging Harry Reid to go through with reconciliation and making it happen?
Well, I think that is definitely a possibility, and I think that we are very close to the point where we are going to simply have to do that, or we will get nothing done on this desperately important subject during this Congress.
Do you think it'll happen? Do you think reconciliation will happen?
Oh, you're converting me from a legislator to a prophet. I've got to say, I'm going to do everything I can. I know the president is, and I know the leadership is. We have been very gentle and considerate of the Republicans and their concerns. And to give an example of that, in our committee, the Republicans offered 53 amendments to the health care bill. 18 of them were adopted.
Mm.
So the Republicans have received just about every consideration that is possible to give them. And they were, contrary to what they're telling us, in the process of consideration of the legislation all the way.
Let's switch gears now. You represent Michigan, 15th Congressional District. You know better than anybody. There are a lot of people hurting up there because of the car industry. And as you have no doubt heard, that Toyota is having a few little problems here. Is this an opportunity for the American car industry to sort of learn from Toyota's mistakes and maybe get a leg up on the industry?
Look, industry is something that has got to be cherished and protected in this country. Toyota does make a contribution to our economy, and so we're going to have to see to it that they, like every other manufacturer in this country, are treated fairly. By the same token, we're going to have to see that they are complying with the law and find out, very frankly, whether the law needs to be changed or improved or enforced better. And right at this particular minute, we don't know anything other than that there are large numbers of Toyotas having serious problems, that there have been people who have been killed by this, but there are significant problems in both braking and acceleration. And frankly, before we make up our minds on what to do about this thing, we're going to have to see to it that we get the facts. And as of this minute, we don't really have them.
Also, besides representing the great people of the 15th District of Michigan, you're also chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee. I want to play a clip of Barack Obama. He's making the push now for nuclear energy. Here he is yesterday.
Make no mistake, whether it's nuclear energy or solar or wind energy, if we fail to invest in the technologies of tomorrow, then we're going to be importing those technologies instead of exporting them. We will fall behind. Jobs will be produced overseas instead of here in the United States of America.
So he's selling it, Congressman, Chairman. What's your take on nuclear power? Are we ready for it in this country?
Well, the simple fact is the president's right on. And the hard fact of the matter is we can no longer allow ourselves to be dependent on imported oil. It's bankrupting the country. But beyond that, we have the very large problem that we have to address, and that is that the Chinese are beginning to seize control and dominance in the market of all of the new technology we have to go forward on. They're the biggest producers of sunscreens, you know, to collect the power.
Like solar panels,
they're,
right?
And solar panels, they're way ahead of the rest of us on wind, and they're putting in place, I hear, a nuclear power plant about once a week. And wow, there's just no way on God's green earth that this United States of ours is going to be able to do the things we have to do, maintain our standard of living, so keep our economic situation going unless we enter this particular contest with all vigor. And frankly, there is no way that we're going to meet the energy demands, requirements, and needs of this country without going nuclear. So the president is dead right.
Okay.
Remember, nuclear started here, and there are no end of nuclear plants in this world. France is 80% nuclear, and they're doing just fine. I see no reason why the United States should fall behind.
Yeah, well, look, I think that I think that the president is onto something. I think he has a lot of selling to do on the nuclear power because a lot of people don't know about it. What they do know about it, they might have some concerns over. But I don't disagree with the president when he says that this is the future, so we will see what happens. One final question. I want to get back to something that you referenced earlier about the so-called majority that Democrats have now. Democrats are now essentially being held captive by the filibuster, the threat of a filibuster. Has this gotten out of hand, and isn't it time that we sort of take another look at how the filibuster rules apply here?
No, it hasn't gotten out of hand. It's been out of hand, and grossly so, for years. And it is simply an intolerable situation. The president could have 70 of his appointees he couldn't get confirmed, so he could run the executive branch because one Republican senator had a hold on every doggone one of them to see to it that he got some pork taken care of for his particular district. Yeah, I'm asking you, is that right? Is it right in a free society that you have to have a 60% vote to carry the simplest of legislation, like a motion to adjourn or a motion to consider a piece of legislation? Absolutely not. And this is used for delay. The House has 324 pieces of legislation sent over to the Senate that they can't move. And these are important bills. They're appropriation bills. They're bills that deal with important public safety, like issues like food safety. We're having thousands of people sickened and killed in this country by bad foods that are coming in. A fair amount of them, by the way, from China.
Yeah.
The nation's business is being intolerably stalled. We're not able to address the situation like budget and other things because there is a deliberate effort to slow down. Not a single bill comes up that is not confronted with enormous delays in the Senate. And very frankly, if the Senate doesn't do something about it, we're going to have to do something about the Senate.
Listen, I hope so. Chairman, I thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you joining me. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
I hope you have a good day, Peter, and thank you.
All right, Congressman John Dingell from Michigan. We'll be right back on the Bill Press Show. Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press.
Every time I turn to Bill Press Show, I get pumped up.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation.
Well, I don't need coffee. I throw the coffee, you'll do it.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Excuse me? Like to sample a Luden's throat drop?
Flutens reminds me of being a kid, running through the neighborhood pretending to be a superhero, saving the universe from evil. I'd come home with a scratchy throat and Mom would give me a Flutens.
That's such a nice story.
Wait, there's so much more.
Great.
For everyday throat irritation, Flutens Wild Cherry Drops. The great taste and soothing relief you never forget. Flutens. It still works wonders.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Increase employee productivity and stop malware threats.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Web Filter is an integrated hardware and software solution that enforces internet usage policies by blocking access to websites and internet applications that are not business related. The Barracuda Web Filter is the easiest way to get your staff back to work while preventing harmful malware from entering your network. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM or visit Barracuda.com.
Listen to some of the reasons why thousands of employees have reported software piracy to the Business Software Alliance.
I had my hesitations about reporting my boss, but in the end, I knew it was the right thing to do. I really did like the fact that my reporting software piracy stayed confidential.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input
Right now, 26 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
When you're ready to plan something great, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. That's why we've created My Savings Plan, an online tool that comes free with a Wells Fargo savings account. With My Savings Plan, you can plan, set, and monitor your savings goals. You can also set up automatic transfers from your Wells Fargo checking account into your savings account. So plan your way to a brighter tomorrow. Call, click, or stop by today and talk with a Wells Fargo banker about My Savings Plan. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
People everywhere recommending Ovation Cell Therapy for thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier-looking hair guaranteed.
I started using Ovation for my thinning hair, but Ovation has also cleared up the skin condition on my scalp I've been fighting for over 20 years. Ovation really works.
Log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special discount. That's OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout.
For real results guaranteed. Ovation works.
Ovation is for real. Grow your hair thicker, stronger, longer, and faster. Or get your money back, guaranteed.
Since I've been using Ovation, I've noticed a significant difference in the texture and shine, and my hair has grown at least 2.5 inches. Ovation does all it claims to do. I'd recommend Ovation to everyone, and I do.
Log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special discount. That's OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for real results. Guaranteed. Ovation works.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
From pop culture to politics.
Oh, yeah. All that other crap in between. This is the Bill Press Show.
48 minutes past the hour on this Bill Press Show. Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill today. Please visit our website, BillPressShow.com. You can buy yourself a podcast account where you can hear the show in its entirety, or you can download just individual segments, which is very cool if you just want to hear the Spin Room, or if you just want to hear Outside the Beltway, you can get just that segment. It's beautiful. And it's at BillPressShow.com. Also, send us an email while you are there. I want to play a couple of clips here because I really find this interesting. And I find it sort of interesting more about what's not being said as opposed to what is being said. Martha Raddatz from ABC News, give us the rundown of a big fish that we caught the other day.
He is really the man behind everything to do with the Taliban, although there are no pictures that exist of Baradar at all. But one official described him to me as the chief executive officer. Listen to this list of what he was behind. Military operation, when raids against Americans would be conducted, where what weapons would be distributed, overseeing Taliban training, where and when that would happen, and what kind of training, and financing, funneling all the money to Taliban fighters.
Now, here's what I find interesting. This guy is a big guy in the world of the Taliban. I mean, as Martha Raddatz described it, he's the CEO of the Taliban. And we got him. Now, what I notice is different here. When George Bush, we were always, with George Bush, we were always capturing or killing the number two in command. I mean, always. And all they did was talk about how they're winning the war, how they're winning the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Look at all the great things we're doing. What did you hear from the Obama administration? Not much. I mean, they were pretty quiet about it. They just kind of said, hey, look, we're doing our job. This is what we're here to do. And, you know, we're not going to put up a mission accomplished banner. We're not going to have a big press conference saying, ladies and gentlemen, we got him. But Robert Gibbs did talk about it. He gives a little credit here. And this I find even more interesting. We're working with Pakistan to bring these guys to justice.
We've seen an increased amount of cooperation with them. I think we're working constructively with them, meeting with them regularly. We have a better intelligence sharing capability.
Now, this was always a problem with Bush and the Bush administration. You know, George Bush is the kind of guy in his report that does not play well with others. So all of a sudden, President Obama has got Pakistan working with us to bring in this terror. So good. Good for the Obama administration. They're not going to pat themselves on the back, so damn it, I will. So good for them. So speaking of the Obama administration, CNN new poll out. 52% of the American public says that say that Obama doesn't deserve re-election in 2012. Really? That high? 52%? Let us know, 866-55-PRESS, if you've got a problem. I mean, look. Okay. I get it. You're not happy with some of the stuff that he's doing. He's a little slow on the don't ask, don't tell. He sort of didn't really sell health care the way that he should have sold health care. Okay, fine. But not deserve re-election? Are we really going to fight that argument again? Because they're going to get another John McCain or, well, we're not going to get John McCain in 2012, let's face it. The guy's going to be lucky if he wins his own re-election. But we got John McCain type. You know, we might have a Sarah Palin or a Tim Pawlenty or, as Bill predicts, Lou Dobbs, better known to you as Pooh Blobs. Lou Dobbs running for president. You got to look and say, okay, look, at least Obama's on the right track here. So let us know. I want to read the emails tomorrow of the people who are giving reasons as to why they would not vote for President Obama for a second term. I don't get it. One of the things that that might not be helping is a new letter signed by members of the Senate saying to Harry Reid saying that he needs to push reconciliation to get health care through, to get a public plan option. Harry Reid so far has been pretty timid on the idea of getting a public plan option. These senators have come out and said, we want this public plan option. We want you to use reconciliation. Let's push it through. So anyway, 866-55-PRESS is our phone number, 866-557-7377. We'll be right back.
Podcasts, Twitter feed, and Bill's White House Report exclusively at the brand new BillPressShow.com. This is the Bill
Press
Show. You're
listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Hi, this is Ron Insana. Stay tuned after this quick break for an important business tip sponsored by Office Max.
It's the dawning of a new day for American business. The future looks brighter, and it's all because of you. Your ideas, your energy, and your dreams are the most precious resources we have. And Office Max has the products and services you need to help make your dreams come true. Office Max, work with us.
Buy two, get one free on all OfficeMax legal pads and OfficeMax envelopes. Certain restrictions may apply. See store for details.
Many great entrepreneur ideas come out of adversity. For example, a joint marketing campaign with another entrepreneur that offers a product or service that complements yours without competing with it is one proven way to grow a business. Another affordable marketing effort is a text messaging campaign. Utilize all forms of media when brainstorming ideas.
From Consumer Reports, chicken, lowering the risk. I'm Ernie Spranz. Chicken is one of the few foods on Americans' grocery lists routinely contaminated with disease-causing bacteria. Thorough cooking makes it safe. Buying a cleaner chicken may improve your odds, but still, one slip-up and you're at risk. Most important is to cook chicken to at least 165 degrees. Even if it's no longer pink, it can still harbor bacteria, so use a reliable meat thermometer. Here are some other tips to help lower your risk.
Make chicken one of the last items you buy before heading to the checkout line. Choose a chicken that's well wrapped from the bottom of the case where the temperature should be coolest. Place in a plastic bag like those in the produce department to keep juices from leaking. If you'll cook the chicken within a couple of days, store it in your fridge at 40 degrees or below, otherwise freeze it. Thaw frozen chicken in the fridge, inside its packaging and on a plate, or on a plate in a microwave oven. Never thaw it on a counter. When the inside is still frozen, the outside can warm up, providing a breeding ground for bacteria. Cook chicken thawed in a microwave oven right away. Don't return cooked meat to the plate that held it raw, and refrigerate or freeze leftovers within 2 hours of cooking. For more ways to help ensure your food is safe, visit our website, www.buysafeeatwell.org. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
In our daily lives, we make many decisions. Life is made up of choices that may seem insignificant at the time, but add up and affect our lives in the biggest ways, like the health of your heart. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. Making the right choices can reduce your risk. Choose to see your doctor. Choose fresh, not fried. Choose to walk. Choose to live. Make the choice to beat heart disease at GoRedForWomen.org.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Is the Bill Press Show.
56 minutes past the hour. You have to be at work at the top of the hour. You got 4 minutes to get there. Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press today. Very quickly, you know, one of the cool things about being in this business of show is you get to do cool things like this. I just want to say again, happy birthday to my son Gray, who turns 5 years old today. Happy birthday, buddy. Let's go quickly to Bill in Bangor, Maine, listening on 103.1 The Pulse. Bill, on President Obama, 52% of Americans say he does not deserve re-election. What's your take?
Unfortunately, I'm one of them.
Okay,
I'm a guy who grew up in the Boston area. I'm a Kennedy Democrat. I'm a dyed-in-the-denim Democrat. And since I first got the right to vote when I was 18, I've voted a straight Democratic ticket the whole way through. I can't vote for this guy again because I'm being played. What's going on is he's not moving to the left. He's moving to the right, and he knows that he can move, and the rest of the Democratic leadership know, they can move as far to the right as they want as long as they don't move past the Republicans because they believe that I'll never go anywhere else. They say, who else is he going to vote for? He's not going to go for the dopes on the other side.
What's your solution? You just don't vote?
My solution is, I have to look for another candidate.
Okay.
I have to do a write-in, I don't want to stay home because I want to show that I'm voting. Mm-hmm. I think if you look carefully at the day after polling in Massachusetts, you see that a lot of the people who voted for the idiot Scott Brown did it saying that Obama didn't go far enough on health care.
All right, Jackie in Princeton, New Jersey, you got about 20 seconds. Take it away.
Okay, yeah, that person who just spoke is the perfect reason why we may lose the greatest president we could ever have, because we don't stick together as Democrats.
Racker, Jackie in Princeton, the final word there. Thank you so much for listening today. Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press. I will be back tomorrow if the crick don't rise. Bill will be back next week. Send me an email, BillPressShow.com. See ya.
This is the Bill Press Show.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Steve Kathan. A January thaw for the housing industry. Highest construction activity in 6 months, according to numbers just out from the government. Building of new homes and apartments was up 2.8%. But applications for building permits, a sign of future activity, were off almost 5%. Economist Diane Swonk says the roller coaster ride continues.
The new housing market is the market that's going to be the slowest to really show the kind of recovery that we would usually see at the stage of the game because of the incredible inventories of unsold homes on the market.
On the one-year anniversary of the Stimulus Act, Vice President Biden tells the CBS News Early Show,
job-creating portions are really loaded at the second half here in the major projects that are going to be being built. But yes, they have gotten the money for it.
He argues stimulus money pumped into the public and private sectors has saved as many as 2 million jobs. Toyota says it's considering a Corolla recall because of power steering issues.
To the public, this must seem like one never-ending recall.
Nicole Mason, former head of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Despite all the concern after three recalls, the company's president says from Tokyo he will not appear before a congressional committee. With a major U.S. offensive in southern Afghanistan and the Taliban's number two in custody, there's plenty to talk about at the White House. That's just what President Obama and top advisors will do. Let's go there live. CBS's Peter Mayer.
Right, Stephen. There will be quite a seating chart for that Situation Room meeting. The President, Vice President, the Secretaries of State and Defense, top generals, and intelligence agency chiefs. It will be a wide-ranging look at the two hotspots at the center of the administration's anti-terror strategy. The President will receive updates on ongoing fighting in Afghanistan. They're also expected to discuss the intelligence operation that led to the capture of that Taliban leader in Pakistan, Steve.
On the CBS Health Watch this morning, a new review finds genetic testing has all but wiped out deadly childhood diseases like cystic fibrosis and Tay-Sachs.
We used to unfortunately see Tay-Sachs disease very, very commonly. In the last 5 years, I've only seen one case of a baby with Tay-Sachs disease because, in fact, the screening program has been so effective.
Dr. Wendy Chung at Columbia University says more couples undergo genetic testing that could lead to some ending pregnancies or deciding not to start a family. Texas and some industry groups are testing the government's authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions.
We are challenging the EPA's findings for CO2 and other greenhouse gases, and we are taking it to the federal courthouse.
Governor Rick Perry's state leads the nation in carbon dioxide emissions, thanks mostly to the oil industry. Last year, the EPA opened the door to new regulations, calling greenhouse gases a health danger. American skier Lindsey Vonn goes for gold today at the Winter Games. She's the favorite in the downhill, but she does have an injured shin. On Wall Street, before the bell, S&P futures up 5.5. This is CBS News.
Mark, technician from SafeLight and Elite Auto Glass.
My customer had a small chip on her windshield, but ignored it. Then the other day, she started her cold car, cranked up the heat, and crack, it spread. When a chip's small, we can usually repair it in just a half hour with our state-of-the-art resin. A SafeLight Elite repair is so reliable, we guarantee it for life. And with most insurance plans, it's free.
Call SafeLight Elite Auto Glass at 303-287-5000.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Got a question. What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. Their well-maintained late-model Hondas each undergoes a 150-point inspection that is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new. See dealer for limited warranty details.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Denver Nuggets coach George Karl says he's confident that his throat and neck cancer can be treated and cured.
Cancer's a hell of a competitor, but I'm ready for the challenge. I'll probably have some bad days, but I'm ready for the competition.
Karl announced his new bout with cancer yesterday. He says he will continue coaching, but says his treatments could result in him missing some games. The two Democratic candidates running for U.S. Senate squared off last night for their first and only debate in Denver. Former Colorado House Speaker Andrew Romanoff and incumbent Senator Michael Bennett debated national security, abortion, and health care reform. Political analysts say Bennett's war chest is four times the size of Romanoff's. Colorado lawmakers are considering a bill that will give judges the power to order domestic abusers to stay away from family animals. The measure yesterday won the unanimous backing of the Senate Judiciary Committee. The bill's sponsors say domestic abusers often harm and threaten pets, as well as livestock, as a way of intimidating their victims. In sports, all eyes will be on Vail's Lindsey Vonn today. She skis in the women's downhill at the Winter Olympics in Vancouver. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where, for the most part, it's a quiet trip as you're making your way around the metro. They are cleaning up a crash on the end of the ramp from 84th as you were trying to access southbound I-25. Still going to find some restrictions there, but things have improved just a little bit. Southbound 225 starting to get sluggish after that Parker curve towards I-25. Speeds through that stretch are going to be running in around the 30 and 40 mile an hour range. Westbound 76 loading up 74th towards I-25. Quick check on today's forecast. We can expect a high again today in the low 40s, currently 23. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
You'll flip for free pancakes at IHOP's National Pancake Day celebration. Come in Tuesday, February 23rd, and get a free short stack of IHOP's famous buttermilk pancakes. All donations benefit local charities. IHOP, come hungry, leave happy.
Good day, citizens. Stand by for vital financial information from LendingTree.
Urgent. Get a $200,000 fixed loan for just $1,074 a month at LendingTree.com. Terms and conditions apply.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
You're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I can safely say this is the first day of the David Sirota show where I laid in bed and pondered calling in sick. It has been this cold, just will not give up. And I think a lot of you out there are also suffering through various winter ailments, colds, flus, so bear with me today. Bear with me this week. I'm sorry if I sound groggy. I'm all drugged out now on Dayquil, coffee. I'm trying to I'm playing like chemist here with my own body, like trying to get rid of the fluid in the face, in the head, in the chest, and also keep myself awake. So bear with us here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, and we got a very, very busy show today. Very, very busy show. There's just so much news now. President Obama is going to be in town tomorrow with Senator Michael Bennett, and there's a chance we're going to be checking in with Senator Bennett at 9:20. He debated Andrew Romanoff last night. We'll talk to him about that. I'll just go through the rundown of what we're going to be doing today. 7:20, we're going to be joined by Representative Jack Palmer of Boulder, who made headlines yesterday saying businesses don't care about Colorado. He is the lead sponsor of the bills, the set of bills that would get rid of those special corporate tax exemptions. Those bills now making it to Governor Ritter's desk as of last night. He made news yesterday about his statements about those bills. So we're going to talk to him about what these bills mean and don't mean. Then at 7:40, Joe Trippi, Howard Dean's former campaign manager and currently a political strategist for Andrew Romanoff, who is running for U.S. Senate here in Colorado in 2010. Again, Romanoff, the former House Speaker, and Senator Michael Bennett debated last night for the first time in the Senate Democratic primary. Then at 8, you're going to want to make sure to tune in for this, the lobbying media complex. Sebastian Jones of The Nation magazine has written an expose finding, among other things, for The Nation. Check this out, that since 2007, at least 75 registered lobbyists, public relations representatives, and corporate officials, people paid by companies and trade groups to manage their public image and promote their financial and political interests, have appeared on MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, and Fox Business Network with zero disclosure of the corporate interests that had paid them. One of those is Howard Dean, if you can believe it. Another of those is Rich Masters, who I know you've heard on this network as well. So this article really pulls no punches. It's a pretty brutal article, and it's about how the news media is really effectively misleading you by not disclosing the financial interests of the guests who purport to be speaking objectively about the issues in which they are paid to lobby or shill for. Then at 9, we're going to be joined by Dr. David Dosa. He is the author of Making Rounds with Oscar, The Extraordinary Gift of an Ordinary Cat. Now, that sounds really kind of weird, but he has been all over the place. He's been on Oprah. He's been all over the place. It's about a cat who apparently visits people before they die. A cat, a real-life cat, that seems to know when people are going to die. It's pretty crazy. And then at 9:30, Westford's Alan Pendergast about that big jury award here in Colorado, where a jury in a health insurance case where the health insurance company denied benefits, the jury went over and above what damages were being asked for and assessed a huge punitive damage against a local health insurance company here to send a message. And we're going to get the inside scoop on that story. Let me update you right now, if I can, on the DEA situation, because that continues to lead the local news here in Colorado, and we've been talking about it for a while. The headline of the Denver Post, Metro medical pot provider charged faces 40 years in prison. Federal prosecutors Tuesday filed drug distribution charges against a Highlands Ranch man who operated a massive basement marijuana garden that he said served medical marijuana patients. Chris Bartkiewicz was charged with a single count in U.S. District Court and could face up to 40 years in prison and a $2 million fine. According to a court document, DEA agents raided Barkowitz's home last week. Barkowitz told federal agents and Nine News that he's a medical marijuana patient and grows the marijuana to sell to other patients and dispensaries. What's interesting about this is when you get down into the weeds of this, the case is the first high-profile federal prosecution in Colorado since the issuance of a Justice Department memo in October that told federal officials to lay off people operating in compliance with their state's medical marijuana laws. This is what the Denver Post says. The memo says law enforcement officials should continue to pursue people who use state laws as a cover for illegal activities. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Had Barkowitz been charged in state court, Colorado's Constitution would have allowed him to argue as an affirmative defense that he is not guilty because the plants were for medicinal use. But because federal agents and the U.S. attorney have prosecuted him, are charging him in federal court, and because the Justice Department memo does not require prosecutors to first prove a violation of state law, they can move forward with this case. So when we talk about the rogue element at the DEA, this is what we're talking about. Literally, a rogue office and a rogue U.S. attorney violating the spirit of a directive from their Justice Department superiors, right? They are going to federal court, not mentioning state law, so as to circumvent the spirit of that Justice Department memo. This is what I mean by going rogue. It's really, really disturbing. I've been writing about this in my column for the Denver Post and the Fort Collins, Colorado, and papers nationally this week, and I've been following it pretty closely, and it's really kind of a frightening situation where federal agents are just not listening to our elected leadership. They're not only not listening to the Colorado Constitution and voters, but our own federally elected officials who have told them to back off. It's really a case of rogues gone wild. Now, here's some good news, and we're going to get into this a little later as well. Michael Bennett, who did debate Andrew Romanoff last night in their first debate for the U.S. Senate, he made a great move yesterday, I think. Bennett is pressing colleagues now, Senate colleagues, to use the procedural tool known as reconciliation to pass a public option. He authored a letter signed by four other senators, demanding that Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, use the public option, use reconciliation to pass the public option. Reconciliation, of course, would only require 51 votes. Now, as I continue to reiterate, this is what a primary creates, a dynamic that is good. There was a poll a couple weeks ago that showed that the public option is wildly popular in Colorado. And Bennett, who had months ago been kind of soft in his support of the public option, he wasn't unsupportive of it, just wasn't clear he was going to fight for it. The primary now between Bennett and Romanoff has created a dynamic where they're both competing to show who can better represent, who is more in touch with regular average voters. And so now you see the product of this, Bennett actually taking a leadership role, a confrontational leadership role, demanding that his Democratic colleagues use what they should have been using a long time ago, reconciliation, to pass a public option. So kudos to Michael Bennett for that. And by the way, kudos to Andrew Romanoff, because everything that Bennett does like this is in part, at least right now, a product of the pressure that's being put on him by the primary challenge by former House Speaker Andrew Romanoff. So I was happy to read that that story. There has not been a lot of good news from our politicians of late. And by the way, kudos to Jared Polis, too. Jared Polis, who had played, I think, kind of a destructive role on health care a couple months ago when he was criticizing that tax on millionaires. Jared Polis, a couple weeks ago, had issued a similar letter to Bennett, saying that the House, and got a bunch of signatures from House members, that the House wanted the Senate to use reconciliation to pass a public option. So there is some good news out there, right? I mean, you can't paint with too broad a brush and say that all politicians are corrupt, all politicians are evil. You see what happens when we put actual, real electoral and legislative pressure on these people. You can get them to respond. Now, again, speaking of good news, here's some more good news, and we're going to check in with Jack Palmer after our first traffic update here. Jack Palmer, I think the Democrats in the Colorado legislature are doing the right thing as well. They're fighting the good fight on taxes. You might have heard that, of course, we got John Hickenlooper refusing to take a position on how to deal with the massive budget deficit here. He's refusing to take a position on the bills moving through the legislature that would get rid of some of those special corporate tax exemptions. Scott McGinnis attacking John Hickenlooper for not taking a position. Meanwhile, Scott McGinnis, the Republican nominee for governor, not the nominee, Republican candidate for governor, he hasn't taken a position on how to close the budget deficit. So we've got two clowns, effectively, at the top of the ticket, running for governor, who haven't taken a position on taxes. But in the legislature, you've got elected Democratic officials who are going to face voters in the next election, too. They are actually fighting the good fight. And one of them leading that fight is, again, Representative Jack Palmer from Boulder, who has gotten himself into a little bit of a controversy last night for his comments last night that said, where, on the floor of the House, where he said, businesses don't care about Colorado. We're going to check in with him up next. I'm going to ask him why he said that. And I wonder if you agree with that. I wonder if you agree with that business interests, because Palmer, you'll hear, he goes on to clarify what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about all businesses. But I wonder if you think that's true in this tax debate, if that raises the question that maybe businesses don't really care about Colorado right now. We'll get into a debate about that after a traffic update, and we'll check in with Jack Palmer after that traffic update with John Turk.
Thanks, David. Good morning. Got this crash still at the end of the ramp from 84th Avenue to southbound I-25. It looks like they might have closed that on-ramp, so I will let you know here in the next update. But jams on 25 all the way back to 136th Avenue. They're the stop-and-go kind as well. Also crashes at Sheridan in Arizona. That's just a couple blocks south of Mississippi. And a two-car crash at Spear and Zuni. Also looking at some heavy jams on 225 and Aurora southbound side after Parker Road, taking you down to 25. Also on 36 eastbound between Sheridan and Pecos. The forecast today, partly cloudy, breezy but mild, highs in the mid to upper 40s. Right now, 25 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
answer.
When I went to buy and build, I was blown away by their selection and pricing. We were looking for cabinets, and the ones we looked at were 10 times lower than the ones at big box stores. Everything I looked at astounded me. Hardwood flooring, tile, beautiful vessel sinks, faucets, plumbing fixtures, granite, at a fraction of the cost of anywhere else I've ever looked. Toilets under $100 that sell elsewhere for $300. Go ahead, shop around. But if you don't go to buy and build, you're nuts. 4800 Washington Street in Denver. 303-295-6022 or buyandbuild.net.
Hey there, it's me, Mr. TV, and speaking on behalf of the TVs in many good homes today, I'm asking you for some digital love from Comcast. I'm talking about the Comcast Digital TV Package, and you're going to love the price. $29.99 a month for 6 months for the digital channels that every TV wants. Plus, listen to this, you're going to love free HBO for 6 months. That's all 8 channels of HBO and HBO On Demand, including the premiere of the new war epic, The Pacific. You'll get Discovery, Food Network, Altitude, Fox Sports and Animal Planet, plus your local channels and video on demand for just $29.99 a month for 6 months. And did I mention free HBO for 6 months? It's a great deal of TV. Call 1-800-COMCAST by Sunday, March 7th. Your TV will thank you.
Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited to new residential customers. After promotional period, regular rates apply. Equipment, taxes, and franchise fees extra. Call Comcast for details.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text speakup to 411-247.
Pile of money? Giant record companies, most of which are in foreign countries. Tell your members of Congress to stop the radio performance tax. That's why the National Association of Broadcasters and this radio station are airing this message. Stop the radio tax.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah, baby, just say it.
Stand here staring at Rock Legend Bruce Dickinson.
The cock and walk, baby.
And if Bruce Dickinson wants more cowbell, we should probably give him more cowbell.
Hey, baby.
And Bobby, you are right. I am being selfish. But the last time I checked, we don't have a whole lot of songs that feature the cowbell.
I gotta have more cowbell, baby.
Yeah, I gotta have more cowbell, too. And you know what? The state legislature had given us a little bit more cowbell on taxes. The legislature issues final approval to those bills that would get rid of a number of those special corporate tax loopholes, those special corporate tax exemptions. And the Republicans, of course, not surprisingly, are digging in. They are digging in, saying that Democrats are raising taxes by getting rid of special corporate tax exemptions. I mean, I don't know how much more Orwellian you can get. You want to talk about newspeak, right? Where getting rid of a tax exemption, getting rid of a special tax subsidy, is somehow a tax increase. The debate on the floor of the Colorado House yesterday got extremely heated. This is from the Denver Business Journal. Colorado House members sent a package of 9 tax exemption cut bills to Governor Bill Ritter on Tuesday, but not before the sponsor of the majority of those bills said on the floor that, quote, businesses don't care about Colorado. This statement from Representative Jack Palmer, the Democrat of Boulder, drew a harsh rebuke from House Republicans, who said it will help to turn businesses away from the state, and led to wincing from a number of Democrats, according to the Denver Business Journal. Palmer said later that he was thinking of a particular business and didn't mean to impugn the entire business community, but he added that commerce groups lobbying against his bills have acted, quote, more like political agents than businesses. The emotional outburst from Palmer came after Representative Kent Lambert of Colorado Springs said policies like the tax exemption elimination package forced companies like Intel to leave the state in the past. Now, not surprising that some lunatic Republican from Colorado Springs, which is gutting its own social services, its own municipal services, not surprising that a lunatic Republican from down there is continuing to push the tax cut mantra at a time of a massive, historically massive state budget deficit. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Palmer went to the floor, a microphone, and said that Intel, the company that Kent Lambert was talking about, took incentives and left the state without giving any benefit to the state. And then Palmer issued a broader statement, quote, businesses don't care about Colorado. They care about their own profits. They'll get as much money as they can out of our state, and then they'll leave our state if they think that's the right thing to do. So I throw it out there, 303-713-7600. Do you agree with Representative Jack Palmer, the senior Democrat who has been pushing these tax exemption cut bills, these bills to get rid of these special corporate tax exemptions? Do you think he's right or do you think he's wrong? And I'm going to read the quote again because it generated a huge backlash by Republicans here in Colorado yesterday. Again, he said, quote, businesses don't care about Colorado. They care first and foremost about their own profits. They'll get as much money as they can out of Colorado, and then they'll leave the state if they think that's the right thing to do. So I'm curious your response to that. 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600. We got open lines, and joining us now is Representative Jack Palmer of Boulder. Representative Palmer, thanks for taking the time this morning. I tend to agree with your statement. Now, I know that some people try to take it out of context. Some people saying it's you painted with too broad a brush. I mean, I actually think you just stated kind of a truism that the fiduciary responsibility of business leaders right now under state and federal law is simply to make as much money as they can. Why do you think your statement generated the backlash from Republicans that it did?
I'm not sure. I think basically they were trying to be political and make a political point out of something that was really just pretty basic. We've really over the years bent over backwards to try to attract businesses to the state, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I think this sense that we can somehow build up goodwill and that then corporations will bend over backwards to benefit the state just doesn't work out. It may work for a small local company, but for a big company with a lot of shareholders, they have to do what they have to do. And I think we have to do what we should do for our citizens in the state without worrying ourselves too much about what how a company will react.
Now, for folks who are just tuning into this issue, I read a piece in the Durango Herald that pointed out that the exemptions that you propose to get rid of represent about 5 or 6% of the total corporate and business tax exemptions that the state currently gives out. I believe the number was $2 or $2.2 billion worth of similar tax exemptions, subsidies, loopholes, and that this, again, this package of bill only addresses 6% of that. I wonder if that's true, and maybe you can tell me if you think that's not true, but if that's true, why has the outcry from business or from some business groups been so intense, been so over the top?
Well, I think we're hearing from the ones who these are going to affect. They don't all affect every business. So in this case, we've got a few businesses that feel like they're going to be affected by it. But I've been a little amazed because, as you know, Colorado is really going broke. And the Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce issued a report not too long ago saying that we really need to invest in our educational system, our transportation infrastructure. And that they get so upset about this really fairly small package, and some of them are time limited, was kind of amazing. I thought that they would at least acquiesce to it.
Do you think it's a commentary on how polarized the debate over taxes has become, whether nationally or specifically in our state, in the sense that you could propose something so modest as this, and it still generates this almost knee-jerk, reflexive argument from the right that says we can never even suspend, it's not even raising taxes, temporarily suspend tax exemptions. I wonder if you seem to suggest that you were in some ways a little bit surprised at the volume of the opposition. And I just wonder, you've been in this political world for a while. I wonder if you think this is a reflection, if it's fair to say that this is a reflection on the broader problem of how polarized the tax debate is in our country.
I think it's a reflection of how polarizing it can be. Some of the businesses, I think, are really acting as political agents here and simply pushing a political cause, which, of course, is what you're getting at. And I think that they believe that if you talk about taxes killing jobs, then you can actually be very persuasive. And we've heard that over and over again. Even a slight increase in a tax, the sales tax, putting the state sales tax of 2.9% on candy and soft drinks will kill 800 jobs, according to Pepsi. I think they believe that resonates with the public, although it does seem...
I just think when Pepsi makes an argument like that, it just sounds so implausible. It doesn't make... Like, I mean... I hate to sound like a Luddite here, but it's kind of like when I hear that, you know, and I kind of pride myself in this show on trying to, you know, look deeply at issues. But the first reaction I have to that is, are you really serious that that 2 cents on let's say a can of soda is gonna drive down demand for soda so much that it'll cost 800 jobs in Colorado? I kind of think that their reaction. That kind of reaction, in some ways, has helped embarrass the other side. That it sort of suggests to people that the other side arguing against this are not making arguments in good faith.
I would hope so. I checked the other night, and there are states, California and Texas, have a special 6.25% tax on soft drinks. And the prices there are exactly the same as they are in Colorado. So I do think that they're just trying to really bully us into not taking away the tax exemption, and they're sort of using jobs as the hostage.
Is this a slippery slope argument? I mean, is that part of what this is? And again, on the line with this is Representative Jack Palmer, the Democrat of Boulder. Do you think that part of this is their theory, that this is a slippery slope, that if these pass, that next time there'll be more tax exemptions that will be taken away, and that this is the sort of first battle of a bigger battle?
You know, I don't think so, because the governor in particular has been so cautious about it, and some of the other tax exemptions I think would be very difficult to take away. I think this is simply a matter of, in some cases, people feel like this might reduce their profits almost a minuscule amount, and they're outraged about it. And I also think they're playing on the fact that right now talking about jobs is volatile. If you say anything about this could kill jobs, it really scares people.
Has there been pushback among, and I won't ask you to name them, but I'm curious if there's been pushback among any kind of Democratic Party higher-ups who might say, you know, this is going to be a tough political climate come 2010, and to initiate a debate about taxes, and I'm all for, I really appreciate you guys in the legislature and doing this. I think it's really, really important that the Democrats have been doing this. But I wonder if there's been pushback among any Democrats in private saying, hey, you know, Jack, don't go forward with this because it's going to be a tough political climate anyway, and we just don't want to have a discussion about taxes.
Oh, absolutely. It hasn't even been in private. It's been in public. The only thing that's kept us going on this is the alternative. We're already cutting a couple hundred million dollars out of K-12, and I think that pushing farther on that and saying we're going to cut more out of K-12 is what has really gotten us the support we need to get some of these through. Because we really waited. We made over $1 billion worth of changes in the budget before we even thought about repealing some of these tax exemptions. And that is really out of the concern that people just don't like paying taxes. The problem is that dislike of taxes, that just knee-jerk reaction to we just don't want to pay taxes, really causes problems, because what we really need to do is look at the tax system and say what's fair, what's equitable, and what is the most efficient way of taxing. And instead of doing that, we have to look for opportunities like the ability to repeal some of these exemptions or sort of nibble around the edges, which just makes the tax system, I think, more awkward and more complicated.
Has John Hickenlooper, who is the leading candidate for governor here on the Democratic side, his refusal to take a position on this, he was on our radio show, he refused to take a position on it, he's basically refused to take a position on it. Has that hurt your cause in the sense of that you have at least one leading Democrat who sort of by default is suggesting that this is such a radioactive issue that he doesn't even want to talk about it?
No, I was only aware of it because I saw the article in the paper. I don't think that really has mattered at all. In fact, you know, he actually had a couple of dozen or a dozen or so tax increases in the city of Denver. I don't know where he stands on it. I take him at face value that he just doesn't want to get mixed up in it right now. And why should he? I mean, it's not his fight at the moment. He'll have his own coming. I mean, Colorado's going broke. I mean, we're absolutely going broke, and it's going to take a big fix. That's one of the frustrating things about what's going on right now, is this is just a very, very small step to keep us from going broke immediately. Sometime over the next couple of years, somebody's going to have to go to the voters and say, if you want to have a state like all of the other states, you're going to have to pay taxes.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it must be frustrating for you as a legislator when so much of these the bigger tax questions have to be dealt with at the ballot instead of through the legislature. I wonder. And my last question for you, and again on the line with us is Representative Jack Palmer, who was the lead sponsor of the bills to get rid of those special corporate tax exemptions, or to actually temporarily suspend them, let me be more accurate there. And I wonder if you think it's fair, because this. A lot of people are pointing to a place like Colorado Springs and its major, major, you know, cut to the bone budget cuts as an example of where the entire state could go if we continue down the road of we never really talk about taxes, if we continue down the road of the budgetary road that we're going down right now. Do you think that's a fair place to look and say, hey, this should be the canary. This is the canary in the coal mine.
It absolutely is. That is where we are going. We're getting to the point now where higher education is going to go over a cliff in a couple of years. And that means that what Colorado spent 10 generations building is going to be destroyed in one or two generations. And I don't think we have that right. But the damage is going to be permanent if we don't step in and say, we want to have these services, we want to be like the other states, and we're willing to pay for it. Now, if the public makes a decision that they don't want it, well, then that's our marching orders, and we just start dismantling it. But I would feel a lot better if we at least ask the public before we continue this process of dismantling it, because right now, small groups of people can have way too much sway. I would rather go to all the voters and say, look, here's the problem, here's what it takes to fix it, yes or no. And if they say yes, then we raise taxes, start paying for these services, and continue on as a state. If they say no, well, then we have to cut. But at least we know that we're carrying out the will of the voters.
Representative Jack Palmer, again, he's the Democrat from Boulder. He's the sponsor of these bills to temporarily suspend these corporate tax exemptions and loopholes. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning and for your work on this. It's really, really important.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. 7:36 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. All right. We're going to open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. Jack Palmer has said, quote, businesses don't care about Colorado. What do you think about that? Instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page or give us a call, 303-713-7600. We'll take your calls. And we are also going to talk to Joe Trippi, the former campaign manager for Howard Dean, who's now working for former House Speaker Andrew Romanoff in that primary with Michael Bennett. We'll talk to Joe Trippi. We'll take your calls. 303-713-7600. Businesses don't care about Colorado. What do you think about that? We'll get to it after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. And traffic is a little better. If you're trying to get out of Thornton and North Glen, they had that crash in the ramp from 84th Avenue to southbound I-25. They've moved that crash, but still looking at some really heavy jams back past 136th Avenue. Also heavy from I-70 to Spear, and again, from Emerson Street up to Colorado Boulevard. Northbounders, just heavy from Evans to about the DU portion of the highway there in the Narrows. Also busy eastbound C-470, Lucent to Quebec, and in Aurora. Southbound 225 Park Road to the 25 merge. Our other crashes at Sheridan and Arizona and Spear and Zuni. Those are both in the cleanup phase. Our forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, light winds, high of 46. Right now, 25 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Come into Qdoba Mexican Grill today and try the new Craft 2 menu. Mix and match two smaller portion Qdoba dishes like the Naked Queso Burrito and Grilled Chicken Quesadilla for just $5.99. Qdoba Mexican Grill, handmade for real.
Do you really think all batteries are the same? Or do you think one stands out from the rest? The Duracell Copper Top.
And while you get what you pay for usually holds true, now with Duracell, you can actually get more than you pay for. Because now the most popular packs of our AA and AAAs give you 20% more batteries for the same price. After all, when it comes to good value, it just has to work. Always reliable, always efficient. Duracell Smart Power. Trusted everywhere.
Hey, it's Dave Sirota. You've got to visit the Yak and Yeti restaurant and brew pub. It's absolutely the best place in town to get incredible Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations, in Arvada on Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth, and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill, theyakandyeti.com.
The way America buys windows. That's Windows America. No games, no gimmicks. Just a great window at a great price. Visit Windows America at the Colorado Garden and Home Show at the Colorado Convention Center February 13th through the 21st and get their home show special. Triple pane windows installed for only $349. Click on the banner ad right now, located on your Listen Live player, or visit WindowsAM.com. A proud member of Tom Martino's Troubleshooter Network. Windows America, a better way to buy windows.
Log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special discount. That's OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for real results guaranteed. Ovation works.
If you're a man who wants to feel confident in the bedroom and have the longest, most powerful sexual experiences possible, the time has come. Hi, I'm Dr. Richard Sandor, and I want to tell you about the revolutionary herbal supplement for male enhancement, Zencor Plus. Zencor Plus will work for you. Zencor Plus performs the first time and every time, guaranteed. Just take Zencor 45 minutes before sexual activity, and you'll experience powerful results. In fact, we are so sure you'll love Zencor's tremendous results that we want to send you a free sample so you can try Zencor for yourself. Once you try it, there's no doubt that you will become one of Zencor's thousands of satisfied customers.
Find out how to get your free supply of Zencor before it's too late. Call 1-800-685-1986. That's 1-800-685-1986. Size does matter. Don't miss out on your free supply. 1-800-685-1986. That's 1-800-685-1986.
7:41 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. We just heard from Jack Palmer, the Democrat from Boulder, the representative, who had caused a firestorm yesterday on the floor of the Colorado House, saying businesses don't care about Colorado. He says businesses don't care about Colorado. They care about their own profits. They'll get as much money as they can out of Colorado, and then they'll leave the state. Palmer, of course, is the lead sponsor of the bills getting rid of a number of special corporate tax loopholes. The Republicans screaming bloody murder over it, saying he's raising taxes and would kill jobs in the state. What do you think? Do you think he's right or wrong? Is it true that businesses don't care about Colorado and they only care about their own profits? I think that's a statement of fact. And I'm not making a judgment on it, right? I just think it's under federal and even state law, when a corporation is chartered, the executives of corporations have a fiduciary responsibility to maximize profit. They don't care about the state. They don't care about the community. There is no heart in a corporation. And again, I'm not even making a value judgment about that. It's just a statement of fact. A corporation is organized. Its mission, its existence is all about maximizing profit. Why is this a controversial comment? Why is it controversial for a legislator to just come right out and say that? I think it's great that he came right out and said this. You know why? Because we can start having a debate about how the world really works in this state. And we got a bills to get rid of just 6% of all the special corporate tax loopholes and subsidies that you and I as taxpayers pay for. To get rid of just 6% of the $2 billion worth of those that we Colorado taxpayers hand out every year. And the business community is screaming about it. The Republicans are screaming about it. I think it's great. I think that's exactly what we need to do at a time of a massive budget deficit. So I ask again, businesses don't care about Colorado. They care only about their own profits. This is the statement of Jack Palmer. What do you think about it? 303-713-7600. Also want to throw out another topic as well, if you want to weigh in on this. I just read this off the Denver Post. This is kind of an interesting thing. I used to be into blackjack a little bit. Not hugely, but it's my favorite casino game whenever I go, and I don't go very often. Colorado casinos hoping to lose less at blackjack. The house usually wins. Now it wants to shell out less when it loses. Colorado's mountain casinos are asking regulators to lower the minimum payout on blackjacks, which would tilt the popular card game's advantage heavily in their favor. Under current rules, operators are required to pay 3-2 on blackjacks, meaning a $10 bet would return $15. The industry wants to lower the minimum payout to 6-5, which would require casinos to pay $12 on a $10 bet. Gamblers are crying foul. I would cry foul, too. That's a lot of nonsense. The odds are already rigged. The odds are already rigged in the casino's favor. Now they're going to tilt it even farther. What do you think about that? 303-713-7600. We'll go to Adam in Castle Rock. Adam, you're on AM 760.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
All right, man.
Well, first of all, I got to say that I was a big Ron Paul supporter, and I've listened to you, and you've made me realize that that's an idealistic view, and that we, anyway, I've really come around to the progressive movement because of your show, so I appreciate that. Second of all, I think businesses do care about their local community when they have a surplus profit because it serves their own self-interest to increase their profits if that community is doing well.
Well, that's a good point, and that's why I think a lot of businesses have supported some of the tax increases, for instance, here in Denver, to preserve the infrastructure that they rely on for their own business. Let me say this, Adam. I make a distinction. I want to be clear to the entire audience. I make a distinction between a business and the people working in a business, right? I mean, I think you can be an individual working in a business. You can even be an individual business owner, and you as an individual can care about your community. But does the business, does the mission statement of the business care about the community? No, because as a matter of a business charter, the business cares about maximizing its profits for its shareholders.
Yeah, right? I would agree. I would agree with that statement.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's the purpose. That's their fiduciary duty.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to indict, I'm not trying to indict the individual people working in the business. Right. I'm just trying to say that I don't think it's a controversial statement to say that a business exists to make money. Hey, Adam, I got to get the next guest. Hey, listen, thanks for the call, man. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
Good talking to you. Let's go to on the line now. We do have Joe Trippi, who we promised to have on before the break. And Joe Trippi, as most people know, is the former campaign manager for Howard Dean. He's now working with Senate candidate Andrew Romanoff here, Romanoff running against appointed Senator Michael Bennett. And Joe, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Glad to be with you, man.
Yeah. Now, your candidate I ask you about the debate last night.
Sure.
Tell us why you've chosen to work with Andrew Romanoff. I mean, this is a race where you hear a lot of the Democratic power brokers have backed the incumbent, or at least the appointed Senator Michael Bennett. Why did you choose to work with Andrew Romanoff?
Because, well, look, I think we've got to have some real change in Washington. And the biggest one is just to get, take on the Wall Street money, the healthcare, all the money that's awash in the place. And, I was watching this thing, and Bennett was just, had just become, I mean, the second he walked through the door, started to drink buckets of this stuff. He ain't going to change a damn thing. I think Romanoff, Andrew Romanoff is, I sat down with him. I think I believe he really means it. He's going to go there. He's not going to take their money. And, I don't know if you remember, but, during the campaign for president, I was one of the people who helped coin in the debate, sort of the argument that, all these companies, in interest deserve a hearing. They can make their case, like a lawyer does to the jury. But unlike a lawyer right now, they can pay the jury off while they're making their argument. And I think we really got to change that if anything's going to if people are actually if their our voices are going to get heard, we need to change that. And I think that's really what's at stake in this election. I mean, Bennett's not going to do that. I mean, he can talk about it, but he can't talk about it while he's taking all their money. And in the debate last night, you could, when Andrew Romanoff said, "Join me and stop doing it and give it back," he just ignored it. Didn't talk niceties, but there are hundreds of politicians in Washington who talk nice about finance reform and taking on the corporate interests and then go in and vote those interests. So, Bennett won't be the first one to do that, but hopefully he'll be one of the last if Colorado decides to make the change.
Do you put President Obama in the same? Would you make the same critique of him? Because we have President Obama coming in to campaign for Michael Bennett here in Colorado tomorrow, and some people have said that President Obama himself, both the amount of money that he raised in his own campaign and the people he put into high office, Wall Street types that he put into high office, are too connected to the money powers in the status quo in Washington. Do you make that same critique of the Obama administration?
I think what happened to Barack Obama is he didn't take that money in the presidential campaign. And I think, the one thing I've never understood about what they, their approach was, I think... can break arms on Capitol Hill, and you can have Rahm Emanuel do it, or you can have the people do it. And this is a guy uniquely ability with 13 million people with him to get the people organized and working to take on the interest on health care and get that reform passed. And I think they made the mistake of going inside. This isn't about Rahm, but I'm saying that. What I never understood is why they didn't do both. Why for them it was an either or. Either we continue the outside mission with the people, or it's Rahm and we do inside deals with Nebraska senators.
Right. It didn't have to be mutually
yeah,
exclusive.
Yeah, they could have done both. He was probably, and I still think he can. He's uniquely with technology, with the networks that are built out there, through Dean, through the Obama campaign, through all the stuff that's going on in Colorado, he can do both, and he's got a unique ability to communicate in a way that could do both. And for some reason, they went either or and decided to play inside. And I think that's one of the mistakes, that I would tell them they made. And I think Bennett just falls right in place there.
So very quickly, because I've only got about 20 seconds or 30 seconds left, very quickly then, when people are thinking about the Bennett-Romanoff race, from your perspective, and you're working with Andrew Romanoff, it is about fundamentally about money.
Yeah, I mean, because nothing's going to change in Washington unless we get rid of the money. And let me tell you, no one in Washington is going to get rid of the money except for us. And that's what Andrew is saying, and I think Bennett is just, again, it's just more the inside mistake Obama, I think, has a great ability to change this country, because we need more people like Andrew Romanoff, and he continues to make these inside mistakes that I don't fault him for. When you get inside Washington, it can really, suck you into the vortex, but we need to pull Obama out of it and get him Andrew Romanoff in the Senate to help him.
Okay, so that's Joe Trippi. Again, folks know him. He was the campaign manager for Howard Dean. He's now working with Senate candidate Andrew Romanoff. Joe, it's always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
All right, talk to you soon. 752 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get, we can, it's been a busy morning already. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thanks, Dave. It has been a busy morning, and traffic is also busy for us, falling into line. Got a new accident northbound I-25 at Yale. Delays in speeds actually in the teens all the way back to Bellevue. So that's tough getting out of the tech center towards downtown. Also sluggish coming southbound on I-25 due to an earlier accident around 84th Avenue. Stop and go back at 136th Avenue. Also, jams on C-470 westbound, Quincy to Morrison. Eastbounders loosen up to Quebec. Also got a new crash at 120th and Highway 85 in Adams County. And they're still trying to clean up this accident at Spear and Zuni. Your forecast today, partly cloudy, breezy but mild, highs in the mid to upper 40s. Right now, we're sitting at 26 degrees here in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Chevy Truck Month with 0% APR financing for qualified buyers on every full-size pickup. And they come with a 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty, whichever comes first. Length of contract limited, not available with other offers. See dealer for details. Take delivery by March 1st, 2010.
Live from Progressive. Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo, I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you and everyone else.
Everyone!
While you're online, check out Progressive.com today for a free quote. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Kevin Richards is sending his identity out to pay some bills.
Okay, get in there. Mailman is going to be here any minute. Whoa, whoa, wait, what, where am I going again? Time to pay the bills, all right? Just get in.
Great, okay. So you're going to flip up the little red flag, let everybody know I'm in here?
Well, yeah, that's what it's there for.
Hey, why don't you put up a big sign that says, hey, identity thieves, he's in here, he's easy pickings. Just open the door and grab him. Come on, everybody, here he is.
Okay, don't be stupid.
All right, well, okay, that would have to be a pretty big sign, I get it, but you get my point.
Your identity is counting on you. Go to identityguard.com right now to get your free identity checkup. Identity Guard is from the company that has already protected over 30 million people. So visit IdentityGuard.com and find out what yours has been up to. That's IdentityGuard.com.
Oh, bro, it smells like meltwater cheese and tin in here.
Would you be quiet?
Get your free identity checkup at IdentityGuard.com. Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First up at auction, we have here a very rare Ming vase from the Ming Dynasty. We will start the bidding at free. Do I hear free?
Free? I'll take it.
Sold to the young lady in the front row for $0.
Wait.
Free? Better. Do your simple federal return for free at TurboTax.com. It's free to prepare, free to print, and free to e-file. No wonder TurboTax is the most software. Visit TurboTax.com today. Choose easy. Trust your bank claim based on 2009.
My son, my teenage son, tried to find my roofing business on the internet, and even he couldn't do it. There's just a big hole in the World Wide Web where my company should be. Then it hit me. I should call Dex One. So I dialed 1-877-4-DEX-NOW, and now I'm talking to one of their marketing consultants. Her name is?
This is Sophie.
My son says I need to power up my click-through on my search engine rate. I don't know, something like that. I just need people to find me on the internet.
Well, sure. At Dex One, we can do a lot more than that. We can design a marketing plan that's as unique as your business with a personalized online presence.
Online, I like that.
Specially designed to drive ready-to-buy customers to your site.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, maybe my son will appreciate me for the true internet visionary roofer I truly am.
Well,
Yeah, I probably shouldn't push it.
Dex One. Marketing solutions, business results. Take your business up a notch. Call 1-877-4DEX now.
/7:56 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the national news, you'll want to stick around for this. We got the author of a new Nation investigative report from the Nation magazine called The Lobbying Media Complex. It's about how lobbyists and PR professionals paid by corporate interests are appearing on your television as nonpartisan, non-corporate, so-called experts. And I tell you something, what's gonna blow your mind about this is we're not just talking about Fox News. In fact, this article in the Nation magazine nails MSNBC and some of its liberal programs as the worst perpetrators of this deception on viewers. It's pretty disturbing. It's a pretty disturbing report. It talks about people like Howard Dean, who I didn't even know was a pharmaceutical consultant for the pharmaceutical industry, at least according to this article. It's a pretty brutal article, and it's not about picking on people. You know, I'm a fan of Howard Dean. You know that. It's really an indictment of the media itself. When the media puts people on television and doesn't tell you who those people are being paid by, what corporate interests those people are being paid by, and those people are talking about issues of import to the corporate interest they're being paid by, it is a deception of the public. It is a betrayal of you, the viewer. It treats you and me, the audience, like we're there to just be fooled, like we're there to be tricked. It treats us like sheeple. I love that term, sheeple. And this article in The Nation, we're going to talk to Sebastian Jones about it in the next couple minutes here. This article really rips the veneer off what's really going on. So stick around for this. We're going to get into it after the national news.
Stay-
Standing next to me is power sports fanatic Larry. He has a passion for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. His second passion is saving money, so he reuses everything, including food.
You make it sound gross.
He uses fast food grease to power his car.
Everything smells like fries.
And reuses toothpaste.
It's not good if you're squeamish.
But you don't have to be like Larry, because GEICO makes it easy by helping you save on power sports insurance. To see how much you could save, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-442-9253.
And a free Rich Dad Education Workshop in Denver and Boulder. Based on the teachings from the best-selling book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, this 90-minute event will show you how to survive and build security during these hard economic times. We teach why your house is not an asset. You may not want to diversify. You may not want to invest in 401ks or mutual funds. Saving money will never make you rich. These are just some of Rich Dad's teachings that will change the way you think about money. Attend this free Rich Dad Education Training, Monday, February 22nd through Wednesday, the 24th. Reserve your place now at richdadeducation.com or call 800-489-4213. Register now and receive a free gift just for attending. 800-489-4213. That's 800-489-4213.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. And AM760.net.
CBS News. I'm Jeff Gilbert in Detroit. Toyota President Akio Toyoda in Tokyo saying his company will investigate claims of steering problems with a Corolla. No recall yet, but if there is one, Michelle Krebs of Edmunds.com says it's another black eye.
The Corolla is so important to Toyota. It is the global car.
Toyota already recalling 8.5 million vehicles.
I think the public must be getting a little weary of floor mats and accelerators and brakes and possible electronics.
Former National Highway Traffic Safety Administrator Nicole Nason telling the CBS Early Show Toyota traditionally needed a push from the government. Toyota's president also declining an invitation from Congress to testify personally at hearings next week. I'm Jeff Gilbert in Detroit. With more CBS News, here's Steve Kathan.
There's good news and bad news in the latest government report on housing. Construction activity on new homes and apartments was up 2.8%.
On the downside, housing permits declined, and when you add that to the incredible snows that blanketed the Northeast right down into the Southeast, you're going to see housing starts correct again in the month of February.
Economist Diane Swonk. USA Today says the TSA will send out roaming screeners to take chemical swabs from random passengers and bags at airports.
Deploying explosive detection around airports and randomly sampling individuals on U.S. airports will make it more difficult for someone to board a plane in the United States.
Security analyst Paul Kurtz says the swabs could turn up dangerous chemicals and powders. On the early show, Vice President Biden was asked about the current threat level.
Am I less worried about an attack? No, I'm worried. Am I less worried about a catastrophic event? Yes.
New information surfaced about the professor charged with killing three faculty colleagues at the University of Alabama, Huntsville.
We're learning more about Amy Bishop's erratic behavior in 2002 in an IHOP here in the Boston area. Amy Bishop reportedly got into an altercation with another diner over a booster seat. The woman in the pancake restaurant said that Bishop started screaming at her, yelling profanities, and then punched her while her child was sitting on her lap. Then she fled the restaurant.
CBS's Seth Doan says Bishop admitted to the assault in court. Politics in Hollywood are clashing again. This time it's over a planned TV miniseries about JFK's Camelot. CBS's Barry Bagnato joins us.
It's right against left again, like a lot of things these days. The New York Times says when the conservative creator of the Fox show 24 began developing a miniseries called The Kennedys, a liberal filmmaker and old JFK friends attacked the scripts as being full of falsehoods, a hatchet job. Screenwriter Stephen Cronish tells the Times the History Channel miniseries is a dramatization, not a documentary, and that if people criticize it after it's shown, so be it. Steve?
It's Barry Bagnato live in Washington. Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 27 points, NASDAQ ahead 6. This is CBS News.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents A Word from Mike Rowe.
Save.
Thank you. For Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service, this has been A Word from Mike.
Wait a minute, that's not all I wanted to say. I wanted to talk about the service departments at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. You know, I wanted to talk about trust, confidence, expertise.
Well, go ahead.
All right. Look, the people I know want to keep their cars running as well as they can for as long as they can. It makes sense, right? Well, the way you do that is you take care of it at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships.
And?
Right, and save. You can also save there.
Correct. Buying tires can be a sure thing at your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership, even if you're not driving a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury vehicle. Just bring in any competitor's current price ad on any of the name brand tires we sell, now or within 30 days of your purchase from us, and we'll beat that price. Guaranteed.
Can't beat that with a stick. Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service.
See participating dealership or visit genuineservice.com for details through 12/31/10.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Denver Nuggets coach George Karl is in the fight of his life.
Cancer's a hell of a competitor, but I'm ready for the challenge. I'll probably have some bad days, but I'm ready for the competition.
Karl has been diagnosed with throat and neck cancer. He's already started a six-week treatment of chemo and radiation.
There could be a possibility throughout the 6 weeks of treatment that I will miss games and could miss practices, depending on my pain and fatigue levels. My hope, and I think the doctors are very hopeful and confident that it is a curable and treatable disease.
Karl was treated for prostate cancer in 2005. It was a debate without a lot of fireworks. Andrew Romanoff and Michael Bennett squared off last night in Denver for what will be their only debate in their race for U.S. Senate. They agree on most major issues. In sports, all eyes will be on Vail's Lindsey Vonn today. She skis in the women's downhill at the Winter Olympics. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk news update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where southbound I-25 is a slow ride, 136, all the way down towards 84th. Speeds are going to dip down into the teens and 20s through that stretch, maybe even stretching into the single digits. Westbound C-470 also going slow along the foothills, pretty much pulls towards Morrison Road. Southbounders on 225 still feeling after Parker Road towards I-25. We've got a crash being cleaned up northbound I-25 near Yale. Quick check on today's forecast. Mostly sunny, low to mid-40s, currently 26 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Forest Travel Counts wants to know how you get around town. If you are called to participate, say yes, and you could win a bike. Front Range Travel Counts is calling your area to study traffic counts, and your information makes a difference. For info, visit nustats.com/frontrange.
Mark, technician from SafeLight and Elite Auto Glass.
My customer had a small chip on her windshield, but ignored it. Then the other day, she started her cold car, cranked up the heat, and crack. It spread. When a chip's small, we can usually repair it in just a half hour with our state-of-the-art resin. A SafeLight Elite repair is so reliable, we guarantee it for life. And with most insurance plans, it's free.
Call SafeLight Elite Auto Glass at 303-287-5000.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I gotta have more cowbell is exactly right. It's Wednesday, it's hump day, and I am trying to recover here from this cold. I've been trying everything. I'm popping DayQuil, coffee, tea. I'll try the cowbell.
I gotta have more cowbell.
Man. That's just I want that written on my tombstone. I gotta have more cowbell. Now, speaking of more cowbell, turning up the volume on things. Joining us now is Sebastian Jones of the Nation magazine. He is the author of this new expose in the Nation magazine called "The Lobbying Media Complex," and it looks at a very taboo subject in our media. And you're probably not going to hear about this. You're probably almost certainly not going to hear about it on television. And you're probably not going to hear about it most other places throughout the media, because this looks at what the media is and is not doing. Sebastian, thanks for taking the time this morning. Tell us what you found. First tell us what you studied. Then tell us the findings in your report for The Nation magazine.
Well, first off, it's good to be on with you, David. So the story I ended up doing evolved out of another story I was doing, which was about the former Congressman Dick Gephardt, who's a lobbyist. And right as I was closing that feature for The Nation in the fall, I got an email from a source of mine which said, you know, did you catch Dick Gephardt this morning talking about healthcare on MSNBC? And I hadn't seen it, but, of course, my interest was piqued, and so I went back and looked at it. And having spent about a month and a half delving into all the various lobbying activities this guy was up to, I was rather surprised to see that on this MSNBC appearance, there was no mention of the fact that he was a lobbyist, and on it he was sort of downplaying the public option, saying things that, you know, it would have been good for the viewer to understand where he was coming from in terms of his day job. So that was sort of how I stumbled into this, and then we started to look at this, I guess from the point of view of saying, you know, David Barstow had written this great expose in the New York Times about military analysts, and was the same sort of pattern of poor disclosure, of conflicts of interest, was that happening over on the side of political analysts, Democratic strategists, Republican strategists, that kind of stuff? And so that's where we started, and pretty shortly I started making a list of the folks that, you know, would have a potential conflict of interest if they were on TV. And about a month and a half, 2 months in, you know, I had about 70 people. And so that was the major sort of part of it, was just accumulating a list, looking at different TV appearances, going through transcripts, going through video, watching more cable news than
it can definitely warp your mind a little bit, I'm sure, and that, you know, that is the an occupational hazard of the article you've written. You had to watch so much cable TV, and the findings in this article, and by the way, the article is linked on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. The findings of this article in sum are just really telling. And I'm going to read from this piece here. Since 2007, at least 75 registered lobbyists, PR representatives, and corporate officials, that is, people paid by companies and trade groups to manage their public image and promote their financial and political interests, have appeared on MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, and Fox Business. Zero disclosure of the corporate interests that had paid them. Now, in your article, you go on to actually cite MSNBC as the worst violator or the worst perpetrator of this, effectively, this deception. And we can get into, you know, whether it's a deliberate deception or a deception of negligence. But I think it's going to shock folks to know, progressives to know, that MSNBC has been really a big part of this problem. Why do you think that is? I mean, the network is known as, not I would not call it the left or the progressive equivalent of Fox News, but the network is seen as a trusted site for, or a trusted place for news among progressives. Why specifically has MSNBC been so bad?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, I think it's really important to look at that. I guess the principal thing is that MSNBC is pretty much the only network that has not even really, up to this point, I should say, attempted to even disclose what firms people work for. So, you know, and that's not really a lot of disclosure, frankly, because not many people sitting and watching television when they see some guy works for something called Burson Marsteller are going to understand really what that means, nor are they going to, you know, particularly if they're just sitting at their dentist waiting for an appointment, they're not going to, you know, go on Google and check out what that company does. But at the very least, Fox News and CNN do that much most of the time. They do try and give you sort of the firm that people work for. Well, MSNBC doesn't even do that. And also, as I cite in the article, I mean, there's some sort of glaring examples. This guy who was Abramoff's basically his lieutenant. If you go back and look at the court documents and some of the investigation.
No, convicted Republican lobbyist Jack Abramoff.
Right. And this guy ended up pleading guilty to honest services fraud last January. But in the meantime, there was sort of this year where he was in flux. You know, Abramoff had been convicted. It was known he was being investigated for his ties to Abramoff. He worked with Abramoff at the same firm. And all the while, he was sort of doing this rehabilitation tour, essentially, on some of the news networks. But really, MSNBC was the only one that had him on very regularly and didn't even disclose that he was a lobbyist, let alone any of this other stuff.
So I've got it. So then that raises the question. I mean, is this a matter of negligence, or is this a matter of some sort of deliberate? We don't want to tell our audience. What do you think is the motive here?
Well, you know, I think it's actually, in a strange way, it's a combination of the two, because I think at the very sort of lowest levels, you know, where you're looking at the folks who are doing the booking, the producers, not the executive producers, but, you know, just some of the producers working on these shows, I think, you know, they're stressed. It's a bit of negligence, a bit of maybe laziness or you know, there are various factors, but I don't think it's anything sort of deliberative, and I don't think they're really keeping track of these incidents. However, I would say that further up in organizations like MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, there are executives who are well aware of these problems, who have been confronted by them on the front page of the New York Times, you know, in a Pulitzer-winning piece, no less. I mean, you know, not to speak of the Nation, but, you know, when the paper of record has taken you to task for these kinds of problems, it's a pretty good bet that, you know, the leadership in these organizations are pretty well aware that these things are going on. And so, you know, I think it's a matter of...
Well, so why does it then continue? I mean, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, I agree with you. At the lower level, when a booker is booking these guests, then it's probably just they forgot to ask the question, or they're busy and they didn't ask, you know, who do you, when they don't ask the guest, who do you work for, so we can disclose it. And again, online with us is Sebastian Jones. His new article in The Nation, a blockbuster. It's called The Lobbying Media Complex, about how a lot of the guests you see on television are actually working for the corporate interests that they are discussing, even though their work, they're being paid by the corporate interests, is not being disclosed to you, the viewer. I mean, at the higher echelons, right, when a Keith Olbermann allows Richard Wolff, who is now a paid strategist at one of the biggest PR firms that works for all sorts of corporations, when a Keith Olbermann lets Richard Wolff host his show, as an example, obviously there's a decision by the higher-ups at MSNBC. It's not that they don't know. Why would they do that? I mean, it's not like there's some lack of or some dearth of people out there who could do exactly what Richard Wolff is doing.
Right. Well, I think, David, it's, you know, there are three very short sort of factors that play into this. I think as a general factor, you know, they want to fill time, and the easiest way to fill time is the best way to fill time. So if they know there's a guy they've had on several times, they're not going to go back and check out sort of what he's up to. The second thing is with guys, I think, like Richard Wolff and, you know, Barry McCaffrey or you know, the regulars who are sort of considered guests in the business, you know, they're good guests. There's this sort of weird reason that they're considered almost celebrities. And so, you know, you wouldn't want to offend them by sort of throwing up there, you know, where exactly they work. So, I mean, those are two, I think, of the major ones that I would say, like, it's sort of a combination of the two. You know, for the majority of them, it's not like a lot of these guys are super famous and really have much, you know, bargaining position to sort of dictate terms about how they're identified. But some of the folks who worked in TV that I've spoken with say that, you know, that some of these big guests, not only are they friends of the hosts and sort of are...
So there's an interpersonal. There's an interpersonal.
Sure, sure. Just like everything in Washington, I'm sure you know. I mean, you used to work there, and you know how it is that, you know, that people actually follow Hardball like it's, you know, some sort of very serious policy show, and it's probably more popular than, you know, most other programs at 5 p.m. in the Beltway.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now let me ask you one last question, because we gotta run here in a sec. But my last question for you is, you are obviously a journalist. You're working in print journalism. And maybe tell me if this is just my pet peeve about this, or tell me if you think this is a broader problem. If this is the case now, if being a guest on major television, cable television, if they don't care what your conflicts of interest are, if they don't care that you're being paid by a drug company or a tobacco company, and you're coming on, you're talking about issues that relate to the drug companies or the tobacco companies or whatever companies, if they don't care, if there's no standards, does that put people who are actually journalists, who actually go out of their way not to have conflicts of interest, at something of a disadvantage. In other words, has it taken, has this perverse corruption inside the media created a situation where it's actually incentivizing people, if they, as a matter of their own financial stability, to effectively not make the sacrifices, to not become a paid consultant to some high profile or high, you know, wealthy corporation, and to be a journalist? Is this sort of changing the incentive structure in journalism and in the news industry?
I think to a degree it can have that effect. I think you might be onto something there, and you know, I think sort of, oh, I have to say, I also remember, and it ties in perfectly with this, I said there were three reasons why this goes on. I think the third reason, and you tap into it with this, is that there is an issue of access, and that sort of allowing people to come on without really sort of, you know, doing a full vetting and disclosure sort of gives access into these influence-generating worlds of lobbying and PR and all the rest for these news organizations. And you're right, you know, access is a pretty important thing in this business. And, you know, if you're going to play by a certain set of ethical guidelines, you might get cut out where others are sort of, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously, it makes it easier to make a living if you're willing to whore yourself out to a corporation. It's particularly easy to make a living if you can whore yourself out to corporations and not face any consequences for that, not even disclosure. I mean, the thing that actually bothers me so much about what you've written here, and not about what you've written, but what's going on and in what you identify here is, I come away asking the question, forget about even disclosure. Why would these news organizations want these people on as objective sources, right? I mean, if you really want an objective opinion about what's going on in healthcare, bring Dick Gephardt on, who's working for various healthcare companies or various companies involved in that. As a matter of a news decision, you know whether you're disclosing it or not, you're not getting an objective opinion. And so it actually goes even deeper than the terrible corruption or the overt lack of disclosure that you describe in your piece, to the first and foremost decision of these news organizations seem perfectly comfortable at the original decision-making level to give people news that is not even close to. Now, there hasn't even been an attempt made to have objectivity.
Yeah, well, you know, just very briefly, I'll tell you that, you know, one of the guys I interviewed for this piece, Jay Rosen, who's a professor at NYU.
And he's been a guest on our show, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's great, and he sort of told me, look, for him, he thought it was totally about the idea of predictability, that, you know, these guys, whatever problems they may have in terms of potential conflicts of interest, whatever, when the bookers get them on and the hosts have them on, they know exactly sort of the strategic, you know, political horse race kind of stuff they're going to say, and that's of value because it creates sort of like a consistent product. They know exactly what's gonna be on, so that segment.
Well, that's a really fascinating point. That is a really fascinating point. You know what I wanted? Can you hang on? Can you hang through a break?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, hang on. We're gonna continue our discussion with Sebastian Jones. And by the way, I'm gonna just open up the phones now. If anybody wants to ask any questions about this new report in The Nation magazine, 303-713-7600. It is about the corruption of our media. This new report saying that our television media is full of people. Full of guests who are being portrayed as objective, as having no corporate connections. They are actually many, many guests on your television screen who are being paid by the very corporate interests that they are discussing and issues that they are discussing. So if you have any questions for Sebastian Jones of The Nation, 303-713-7600, and I'll open up a question to you here just as a matter of discussion. When you hear about this, do you say, oh, of course, I already knew this was happening? Or does it surprise you? And does it shake your confidence in the news media? Does it confirm for you that you are not getting objective news? Because that's what it says to me. We'll discuss it 303-713-7600 after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, still stop and go, coming southbound on 25 in Adams County all the way down into the Thornton area, 136 to 84th. That's due to an early accident. Also got a crash northbound side of 25 at Yale. Speeds being hampered all the way back to about Dry Creek. That's pretty nasty for us. Also looking busy on C-470 westbound, Bowles to Morrison, eastbounders, as you try to get out of Highlands Ranch from Broadway up to I-25. Also, a new crash, T-bone accident, Iliff and Peoria. And in the cleanup phase, this accident at 120th and Highway 85. Your forecast today, partly cloudy, light winds, and a high of 46. Right now, 29 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This year, stop making resolutions that don't work and start losing weight with a plan that does. Weight Watchers Online. It's Weight Watchers, but it's completely online with 31,000 food options, 1,800 recipes, and restaurant guides. And it's customizable so you can live life, learn to lose weight, and keep it off. Sign up for free. Go to WeightWatchers.com and start today. Weight Watchers Online. Stop dieting. Start living. Sign up fee waived with purchase of 3-month savings plan. Automatically renews until you cancel. Hurry, offer ends March 13th.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM 760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19, only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
An easy one. Dr. Lori Kemet and her associates at Incredible Smiles, they provide all of your dental needs in one great location up in Boulder. They provide more than just a good smile, a beautiful smile. They help you maintain a healthy mouth. Some services they offer, invisible braces, all porcelain crowns, Incredible Smiles veneers, laser cleanings, even sleep studies, and yes, solutions for snorers. I took the sleep study. I was all nervous about it, but then all they do is they give you this headset. You go home, you sleep one night, put the headset on, you come back. Give them the headset, and Lori and her associates over at Incredible Smiles, they tell you, here's how you're sleeping, here's the problems with how you're sleeping, and if you're a snorer, they have a lot of solutions for snoring that deal specifically with dental procedures. I bet you didn't know that snoring and dental procedures had a very, very big connection. Well, they do. Give Lori and the associates at Incredible Smiles a call, 303-777-6453. That's 303-77-SMILE, 303-777-6453. On the web at IncredibleSmiles.com. Give them a call. Tell them Sirota sent you. You won't regret it.
Nestle Crunch now has a richer chocolate taste and crispier crispies. To prove it, we're going to conduct the world's first taste test over the radio. Using high-frequency waves, we'll beam samples of the new Nestle Crunch directly into your mouth. Open wide. Enjoying the richer tasting milk chocolate and that crunch from the crispier crispies? Easy there, Turbo. Let's save some for everyone else. Hello? Okay, turn off the beam.
Richer chocolate taste, crispier crispies.
If there were 100 people in our town, we'd need a couple of traffic lights. If the following year there were a lot more people, we'd need a lot more traffic lights. But if we didn't answer the census, we wouldn't know how much we've grown. We'd still have a couple of traffic lights and a whole lot of gridlock. Answer the census. It's how we get our fair share of funding for the things we need. Look for the census in your mail mid-March. We can't move forward until you mail it back. 2010 Census. It's in our hands. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau. Learn more at 2010census.gov.
What people in America don't get is that it's not a this or not this. It's a this or that. It's not a you have big government or you have small government.
Learn a little something. Afternoons at 1.
Let's go back to what the founders had. The Boston Tea Party was a revolt against a tax cut by the British government to put entrepreneurial tea sellers in the colonies out of business.
Tom Hartman on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
8:27 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Again, on the line with us is Sebastian Jones of The Nation. His article, linked on our website at am760.net, is The Lobbying Media Complex. And we talk a lot about being media literate on this show. And you're not going to hear, my guess is, and Sebastian, no disrespect to your article, but I don't think the television media or much of the electronic media in general is going to cover your article because, of course, you asked some tough questions of them. If you want to give Sebastian a call if you want to ask a question to Sebastian Jones about his new report. 303-713-7600. 303-713-7600. We got a couple open lines. We got a couple people holding. And Sebastian, we were just talking before the break about objectivity and what this does to objectivity. On which particular issues do you think that this problem of corporate spokespeople, lobbyists, PR specialists being put on television as supposedly disinterested guests, thereby misleading the public, right? If somebody's being paid by a corporation and comes on and pretends, is allowed to pretend that they're not representing that corporate interest and then gives their opinion, there's obviously a reason why that's the corporation and the PR people love that, because it's particularly deceptive because it looks like they're giving objective opinion. But on which particular specific issues do you think this most impacts the political debate?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, in the piece, we look at, you know, some of the financial reform and some of the healthcare legislation and sort of that policy that was going on and some of the TV flacking that was associated with that. But to be honest with you, I mean, I think it really applies to just about any public debate that goes on, because the problem is basically systematic. It's not just that, you know, there are a lot of people who do this in the healthcare sector, that there are a lot of people who do this generally. And so just about any large policy debate that you're going to have on the cable networks is going to basically involve some of this going on, I think.
I mean, because when I look at this, I mean, I think that, I mean, especially with the David Barstow's piece of the New York Times about, you know, people working for the defense industry, people, you know, the idea that we don't even have a discussion really in this country about defense spending, I mean, it's got to be just as one example. To me, when I read your piece, that was the one that really, really stuck out. That if you have primarily people talking about war and peace issues who are working for the defense industry, you're not only not going to get a discussion about defense spending and the problem of bloated defense spending, you're not really going to get a balanced discussion about basic issues of war and peace. Let's go to the phones now. We've got a couple of callers who want to ask Sebastian Jones of The Nation a question about his new article. Again, you can find the article, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. You tune into the AM760 Progressive Dojo, I hope, to hear about stories like this, because you better believe a story that's written about how the media is misleading you is not something you're going to see on TV. So let's go to the phones. If you've got questions for Sebastian Jones, 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. We'll go to Nancy in Denver. Nancy, you're on with The Nation's Sebastian Jones.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a regular MSNBC watcher pretty much every day, so I'm a little shaken, and I find all of this very stressful. I find that I really don't have a voice. I mean, I call my senators and my congressmen, and I tell them this and that, and nobody ever seems to listen or care. And so now we're in a situation where, you know, the Supreme Court is letting corporations buy everything, and now you're telling me that my trusted news source is betraying me. And I want to know what I can do about it. I mean, is there anything? Do I have any voice? Do I have any impact? Is there anything I can do?
Sebastian, it's a good question, and I'm sure other people have that question. What can, if anything, people do about this? I mean, is it as simple as, you know, email MSNBC and tell them you want them to disclose this? Because when I look at what happened with the Richard Wolff situation, right, and Keith Olbermann and Countdown, right? Richard Wolff was guest hosting MSNBC, the Keith Olbermann show, and then there was sort of this blogospheric explosion. People said, wait, Richard Wolff is a PR executive, and then Olbermann said, well, all right, well, he's not going to be on my show for like a month, and then he's going to come back, and we're going to put like a little disclosure underneath his name. What can people do about this?
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, it's a great question, and I've had several people tell me, and you know, this stuff is kind of depressing, and I've had several people tell me, you know, I loved your article, but it was very depressing. And you know, I think there are a couple of things. You know, first of all, I don't think, and it would be too, you know, too general to say that this is a problem that applies to every single hour of cable news programming. I don't think that's true. I mean, there's certainly There's certainly shows out there that are attempting to deal with this in a proactive way. I think Rachel Maddow, for example, has gone out of her way to sort of reveal some of the things going on in the PR and lobbying world, and certainly hasn't been hosting a lot of sort of strategy sessions with these guys. So there are, there are things on cable that are not necessarily susceptible to this. And I think the other thing is, you could see that Keith Olbermann definitely felt poorly about being criticized amongst liberal bloggers when that whole incident went down with Richard Wolff. So, I don't think it's necessarily hopeless, but I think beyond that, there's always, your independent press that will definitely sort of give a pretty direct assessment of what's going on.
And I'll just speak for you right now, if I can. This is one reason why people should subscribe to The Nation, right? I mean, this is one reason why I hope people tune in to AM 760. This is one reason why people should support progressive media that they've come to learn to trust, and that those media have earned people's trust. I mean, I think The Nation printing your article, I mean, The Nation talking about some of the conflicts of Howard Dean, for instance. And I'm a fan of Howard Dean. I know The Nation's been a fan of Howard Dean. But that's what independent media does. And I think one way you can change things is to support independent media like The Nation. And I know you don't want to say that, Sebastian, necessarily, because you don't want to sound like you're selling your magazine, so I'll say it for you. We'll go back to the phones now. Again, we're on the line with Sebastian Jones of The Nation magazine. His article, The Lobbying Media Complex, is about how lobbyists, corporate PR people are being put on networks, including, and actually in his article, he says one of the worst perpetrators of this is MSNBC. I know, blow your mind about that if you're a progressive watcher of MSNBC, about how lobbyists and PR specialists are being put on the air and being portrayed, depicted as objective analysts, when in fact they're in many times being paid by corporations whose issues they are discussing on TV. We will go back to the phones now. We'll go to Andy in Denver. Andy, you're on AM 760 with Sebastian Jones.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right.
I'm a media comm major. Well, my degree was in that, so I'm pretty interested in this stuff. And I think what it comes down to is people are kind of, not lied to, but held in the dark about what really corporate media is. I mean, MSNBC really isn't a liberal media source. That's their niche, They're there to make money for the people who fund them. And, I mean, there's no accountability in network media, so why should they do anything but try to make money? When it comes down to it, I mean, you look at a media map, I remember, in college, and I'm sure you can Google that, anyone out there, and look at who owns those media companies. I mean, does Westinghouse still own CBS?
I think it's Viacom now. Viacom.
Westinghouse at one point did own CBS, though, for example, and they also made nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you have a big conflict of interest there. I mean, it's not a surprise that they bring these lobbyists on. Independent news is great, and I think the Internet will start balancing out some of this garbage. But with MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, when they put lobbyists up there, if you don't like it, don't watch it. I mean, don't click on their website. If they're not popular, they're not making money. Now, of course, it may cause them to get more outrageous because of the fact they're trying to draw in more people. But this is entertainment news. This is not serious news. And everyone really needs to understand that and not get upset by it. Just understand it.
Andy, I think that's a really good point. I mean, I think part of the solution, and I'll ask you this, Sebastian. I mean, don't you think part of the solution is whether these institutions change or not, part of the solution is for the audience to become, as I keep harping on this phrase, more media literate. I mean, the public service of your article is that the more people who read this article, it's not necessarily the more people who are not going to tune into MSNBC. It's just that when they watch an MSNBC or a CNN or a Fox, they watch it with some more knowledge about what's really being presented here. I mean, is it fair to say in your mind that when you're watching an MSNBC, because you hear this a lot, when you're watching an MSNBC, really, your GE is talking to you. When you're watching Fox News, the News Corporation is talking to you. When you're watching CBS, Viacom is talking to you. Is that fair to say that?
To a degree, but I think it's a lot more subtle than that. I think with all of this, it's not that, there's some sort of preset sort of decision to spin people. I think it's a lot more sort of aligned interests end up generating this environment where it's very easy to do and no one really cares, and so it's done. But one thing I would also sort of add from what your caller was saying there, which I think is interesting, and it's a point that Aaron Brown, who's a former CNN anchor, made to me, and I believe I quoted in the piece, is that, you know, when you're thinking about these problems on cable news, we're not talking here about, you know, starving poor newspapers who are desperate to fill content and have no money left. I mean, these, you know, cable news outfits are pretty profitable to their sort of their mother corporation.
Yeah, these are multi-million dollar operations.
Yeah, and you know, certainly, and again, with sort of the entertainment aspect, I mean, I think that goes back to what we were discussing earlier with Jay Rosen, sort of saying that consistency, I mean, consistency is sort of a good thing in entertainment. It's not a good thing in news. You know, I think reporters, at least print reporters that I know, love to get a great sort of quote that is not what they expected, but is a great quote. And here, if you're looking to have quotes that, you know, you just know what they're going to be so you can, you know, fill time in a very consistent manner, there's something wrong with that. And it certainly sort of draws you towards, you know, if the product is sort of too regurgitate the same things, that tends towards more entertainment in my mind.
Absolutely, and I want to agree with your point that you made, that I do think that it does vary from host to host, that so much of this is personal, so much of this is host-driven. I mean, I think you made a good point about Rachel Maddow as an example. I mean, I remember there was a time, we played the clip of when it happened a while ago, where she had on Laura Tyson to talk about the bailout, and she didn't know, and I don't fault her for it. Look, I mean, it's hard to do so much due diligence, but she didn't know that Laura Tyson was sitting on the board of Merrill Lynch. I believe it was Merrill Lynch or one of the banks. She was sitting on the board of one of the banks that had benefited from the bailout. And the next night, Rachel Maddow came on and said, you know, I didn't know this there. That's why we didn't disclose it, and I'm disclosing it now. And so I think it really varies. I think you're right, from host to host. I mean, I don't think you can make blanket statements that the whole network, one whole network is doing this deliberately. I think it really does. The standards are at a host level, and I think that goes for television news. I think it goes for the radio. It goes for this show as an example. And I just think if there isn't those standards, if those standards aren't being enforced, which clearly your article shows they aren't in many ways, it clearly has a distortive effect on the news. Again, the article is The Lobbying Media Complex. It's by Sebastian Jones of The Nation magazine. It's linked on our website at am760.net. Sebastian, great work, and thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
It was a pleasure to be on, Dave.
Good talking to you. 840 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. Up next, news of the weird. Finally, we get to it. I've been putting it off for a while now. Lenny Dykstra. Remember the old the Mets star? I think he was really a Phillies star. Maybe that's just my Philadelphia Phillies allegiance coming out in expression. But Lenny Dykstra back in the news. He's a stock speculator once again. We'll fill you in on that and other crazy stories from the News of the Weird segment after a traffic update with John Turk.
All right, Dave, traffic is starting to loosen up for us. We have no accidents on the highways around Denver. Still a struggle getting out of North Glen, though. Southbound side of 25, 120th to 84th. That's still due to that early accident, serious accident on the ramp from 84 to I-25. Also busy southbound side from Colfax to Alameda. Northbounders struggling Dry Creek to Yale due to an earlier accident. Also from University up to 6th Avenue. In Aurora, southbound 225, starting to loosen up. Speeds in the 30s and 40s from Park Road down to I-25. Northbounders, really no problems. Maybe a little bit around the spillway, making the big Parker curve. Also, westbound Turnpike still full. Sheridan to Wadsworth, again from Flatiron Circle to McCaslin. And here's the surface street crashes. T-bone crash at Isla from Peoria, one at 56th and Pena, and still in the cleanup phase, 120th and Highway 85. Your forecast today, mix of sun and clouds, light winds, and a high of 46. Right now, 31 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Take that tax refund check and stimulate your life. Mile High Harley-Davidson of Parker and Aurora has an incredible selection of new and used motorcycles, accessories, and motor clothes, in addition to the top-ranked service department in Colorado for customer satisfaction. Stop in today.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong.
You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text SPEAKUP to 411-247.
Hey, it's Dave Sirota. You've got to visit the Yak and Yeti restaurant and brew pub. It's absolutely the best place in town to get incredible Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill at yakandyeti.com.
The way America buys windows. That's Windows America. No games, no gimmicks. Just a great window at a great price. Visit Windows America at the Colorado Garden and Home Show at the Colorado Convention Center February 13th through the 21st and get their home show special. Triple pane windows installed for only $349. Click on the banner ad right now, located on your Listen Live player, or visit WindowsAM.com. A proud member of Tom Martino's Troubleshooter Network. Windows America, a better way to buy windows.
Halloween is the voice of someone who reported software piracy to the Business Software Alliance. How was it working with the BSA?
Very simple, very easy, completely confidential. I think the whole phone call maybe took 5 minutes. They just asked a few general questions, and from there they sort of took everything over on their own.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BSA.
In Old Wadsworth, 86th and Sheridan, in Westminster. Again, mention this ad, 10% off your bill, and make sure, if you're a stout guy like I am, get their chai stout beer or their IPA. Really, really fantastic. Again, tell them Sirota sent you. You won't regret it.
Hi, this is Troy Hampshire, host of the Dollars and Cents Show. Join us every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on AM 760. We are your 401k rollover and IRA specialist. Give your money the power and protection that you need every Saturday morning, 11 a.m., Dollars and Cents on AM 760.
All right, there we go. There's the music for News of the Weird here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 8:45 here, and we haven't done News of the Weird in a while, so here we go. Lenny Dykstra unveils new investment service. He says he hasn't made a losing trade in 2 years. Lenny Dykstra, the ex-Mets and Phillies star turned financial advisor, who famously filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy last summer, has apparently emerged from a financial ruin with a new investment advice service. His latest venture, Nails Investment, remember Nails was his nickname, is a $99 per month subscription service that promises to provide members access to his deep-in-the-money calls strategy, an approach that has led him to make exclusively winning trades over the past 2 years. That's right, he says he has not made a losing trade in 2 years. I don't know if I would believe that or not. Also, more news of the weird. Here we go. Tiger Woods' most famous mistress may soon become a household name. New York Post, page 6, reports that Rachel Uchitel has been offered a spot on the entertainment TV show Extra. You know, it's every crisis, every celebrity tragedy or controversy breeds opportunity, I guess. I'm a celebrity, Australia fined killing eating rat. That's the headline in the AP. Let's see what this is about. A British broadcaster has been convicted of animal cruelty after two reality show contestants skinned, cooked, and ate a rat during filming in Australia. This is the producer of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, was fined $3,000 Australian, which is about 2,600 American bucks, after pleading guilty last week to animal cruelty. Man shoots himself in the leg outside of a Florida gun store. This is from Jupiter, Florida. Man accidentally shot himself in the leg after leaving a Jupiter gun store. Police said the unidentified man went to the gun store looking for batteries for the laser sight on a small handgun. When the man was back in the car, the gun accidentally fired, hitting him in the leg. Complaint claims mayor uses mute button on speakers. Los Angeles County prosecutors are looking into a complaint that the mayor of Carson cuts off public speakers at city council meetings if he doesn't like what they're saying. It's like cutting his mic. That's like an O'Reilly tactic. Man allegedly steals ambulance with a patient inside. This is from Madison, Wisconsin. Authorities say a drunken man stole an ambulance from Wisconsin ski area with the patient and paramedic still inside. Note to potential ambulance thieves out there, make sure that there's nobody in the back there. This is a Reuters headline. A tough act to swallow. An Australian performance artist set a new Guinness World Record Monday when he simultaneously swallowed 18 swords, each nearly as long as 2.5 rulers. Wow, that is just brutal.
You ever seen those sword swallowers or regurgitators?
Yes, I was in when I was one time in Paris. This was years and years and years ago, right after college. And I saw this guy take down. I mean, it was like he swallowed a broadsword. I mean, really? It must have been. I'm not kidding. 1.5 or 2 feet long. It was so grotesque.
Yeah, I saw this guy, and I was actually working at a radio station in college, and I interviewed this guy. I think his name was Stevie Starr, and he was like a sword swallower, mastered regurgitator. He could swallow like a roll of quarters.
Okay. Oh yeah, I've seen those guys.
And then
that's
he
crazy.
Would like, you'd say, "Hey, pick out the 1974 coin." And he'd be able to, and then spit out the 1974.
I do not know how they do that.
I don't either.
It's really, how it's do you, your crazy. Stomach has a brain or something.
Yep.
It's so weird.
He would swallow all kinds of things, and they'd come back up.
And you could call for them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
like
crazy.
Like he'd swallow like a rubber ball, like a quarter, you know, a few other things. He'd be like, I want the rubber ball out. And
I wonder how you practice that.
I don't know. He said he picked it up when he was a little kid.
Yeah, I wonder how you even learn that you have that skill.
I don't know.
You know, it's pretty crazy. Here is another one. Good deeds fuel good deeds. The warm and fuzzy feelings you may experience after watching others perform virtuous deeds may in turn lead you to act altruistically as well, according to a new study based on the results of two separate experiments. So there's from the science world. Underdog theory debunked. In spite of the Saints come from behind victory Sunday, underdogs aren't actually more motivated to win. In fact, a new study from Ohio State University finds the opposite is true, with favored teams working harder to beat lower-ranked competitors. I guess it's out of a fear of being humiliated. And our last news of the weird segment, if you hadn't heard this, actor Kevin Smith was booted off a Southwest plane for being too large. Kevin Smith said he's way fat, but that shouldn't stop him from flying. The director and actor says a pilot ejected him from a Southwest Airlines flight from Oakland to Burbank, California, saying he didn't fit properly in a single seat. Smith raised a stink about the incident on his Twitter page, saying, I'm way fat, but I'm not there just yet, and if you look like me, you may be ejected from Southwest Airlines. So Kevin Smith now, in a big battle with Southwest Airlines, and he took another flight, and apparently, according to Smith, he didn't have to have an extra seat or anything, so Kevin Smith versus Southwest Airlines. It's on Kevin Smith's Twitter page. That's your news of the weird. Up next, we'll take some of your calls, 303-713-7600. Feel free to weigh in on anything we've talked about this morning. Taxes. Is Jack Palmer, the Democrat in the legislature, wrong to say businesses don't care about Colorado? We can talk about the media issue we just discussed about pundits on TV not disclosing their corporate interests. And I'll fill you in on some national stories, including the appointment of a deficit reduction panel. President Obama makes that announcement. By the way, one of the heads of that deficit reduction panel was a recent guest here on AM 760 on the morning show. Stick around, we'll fill you in on that after a traffic update with John Turk.
All right, Dave, just a few spots now, some leftover residual traffic. Northbound I-25, University to 6th Avenue, southbound side, 120th to 84th again from I-70 past Spear. Got an accident, new one, northbound I-225 as you approach Mississippi. Small delay, speeds are still pretty decent back to Iliff. Also got this crash at 56th and Pena as you're making your way out to the airport, and also a T-bone accident at Iliff and Peoria. The forecast today, partly cloudy, breezy but mild, highs in the mid to upper 40s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a few light snow showers in the morning and evening, highs in the mid 30s. Right now, 31 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Ralph's Shop Mini, now offering special 3.9% APR financing and an upgrade to automatic transmission at no additional cost. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Senator.
10, 9, 8.
As this year gets underway, stop making resolutions that don't work and start losing weight. Join Weight Watchers for free right now. Weight Watchers breaks weight loss down into achievable steps so you can start off right, learn to lose weight, and keep it off. Call 1-800-START-NOW or visit WeightWatchers.com and join for free today. Weight Watchers. Stop dieting. Start living. Registration fee waived. Must pay meetings fees. Valid in participating for 13th.
Or dry, brittle, damaged hair with Ovation Cell Therapy.
I can't remember the last time I could brush my hair without having to clean the brush at least twice during the process. Ovation is not high enough praise. Standing Ovation, 21 Men Salute, Blue Angels Fly Over. That's more like it.
For healthier hair, log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special discount. That's OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for real results guaranteed. Ovation works.
Ovation Cell Therapy is so good, it's guaranteed.
I'm very pleased with Ovation. Your money-back guarantee got me to try it. My hair is much shinier, softer, and fuller looking. My stylist can really see the difference. My hair is so healthy. I can continue with perms and color. Ovation, for my money, you're the real deal.
For thicker, stronger, longer hair, log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special discount. That's OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout.
For real results guaranteed, Ovation works.
Results may vary. Additional products and services will be offered for sale.
This is not your father's economy. The old standards of working one job and putting money away towards retirement no longer apply. Today, success or failure depends on your financial IQ. You need to attend a free Rich Dad Education Workshop in Denver and Boulder. Based on the teachings from the best-selling book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, this 90-minute event will show you how to survive and build security during these hard economic times. We teach why your house is not an asset. You may not want to diversify. You may not want to invest in 401ks or mutual funds. Saving money will never make you rich. These are just some of Rich Dad's teachings that will change the way you think about money. Attend this free Rich Dad Education Training, Monday, February 22nd through Wednesday, the 24th. Reserve your place now at richdadeducation.com or call 800-489-4213. Register now and receive a free gift just for attending. 800-489-4213. That's 800-489-4213.
8:55 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. In the 9 a.m. hour, we got a very busy hour. You're going to want to stick around for this. Check this out. At 9, we're going to be joined by Dr. David Dosa, the author of Making Rounds with Oscar, The Extraordinary Gift of an Ordinary Cat. Now, that sounds almost ridiculous, but it's about a cat that allegedly was kind of a grim reaper.
I mean, the cat predicts death.
The cat predicts death. This guy's been on Oprah. This book is kind of a major phenomenon out there. So we're going to talk to him about this cat that predicts death. Pretty creepy. Then at 9:20, U.S. Senator Michael Bennett will be on the show with us. President Obama will be in town for him and with him tomorrow. So we're going to talk to Senator Bennett about that. Senator Bennett debated Andrew Romanoff, former House Speaker Andrew Romanoff, yesterday. We had on earlier in the 7 a.m. hour, we had on Andrew Romanoff's, one of his top campaign strategists, Joe Trippi, who was also the campaign manager for Howard Dean. So we're going to have on Michael Bennett at 9:20. And then at 9:30, Westward's Alan Pendergast on their, on his big cover story about how one Colorado jury issued punitive damages over and above what was requested against a local Colorado health insurance company, sending a big message and I think a commentary on just how angry the public is at health insurance companies. It was a case dealing with denial of benefits, and this jury got real angry and issued seriously huge punitive damage awards. So we'll talk to Westward's Alan Pendergast about that at 9:30. So a busy hour coming up. Let me fill you in on a couple of national stories that caught my eye this morning. First and foremost, Obama selects heads of his deficit panel. President Obama is going to name former Wyoming Republican Senator Alan Simpson, a recent guest on this show, and Erskine Bowles, former chief of staff in the Clinton White House, as the co-chairman of a bipartisan commission to recommend how to reduce high deficits that are building the nation's debt to perilous levels. My problem with this is not Simpson. My problem with this is Bowles. Erskine Bowles, yeah, he was a former chief of staff to President Clinton. He's also a former big-time, and I'm talking big-time, investment banker. So President Obama putting, as the Democratic co-chairman of this, picking effectively a Wall Streeter. I mean, I really don't know how many times this president is going to stick his thumb in the eye
of his voters and be so totally tone deaf? How many times is this guy going to make moves to make himself aligned with Wall Street? Meanwhile, elders of Wall Street, this is the headline in the New York Times, elders of Wall Street favor more regulation. Put aside for a moment the populist pressure to regulate banking and trading. A lot of Wall Street elders are saying, actually, we need more regulation. Unfortunately, the Washington Independent reports that a plan for a consumer protection agency is now faltering in the U.S. Senate. I will ask U.S. Senator Michael Bennett about that at 9:20. About whether we're going to get real Wall Street reform, considering he's taken a lot of money from Wall Street. Stick around for that. The 9 a.m. is busy. Put on your seatbelt.
This year, stop making resolutions that don't work and start losing weight with a plan that does. Weight Watchers Online. It's Weight Watchers, but it's completely online with 31,000 food options, 1,800 recipes, and restaurant guides. And it's customizable so you can live life, learn to lose weight, and keep it off. Go to WeightWatchers.com and start today. Weight Watchers Online. Stop dieting. Start living. Sign up fee waived with purchase of 3-month savings plan. Automatically renews until you cancel. Hurry. Offer ends March 13th.
Tim Patton is engineering director for Boulder-based Micromotion and a graduate of the CU Executive MBA program.
Since I completed the CU Executive MBA program, I've become a more integral part of Micromotion. It's enabled me to see the big picture of the company and make better informed decisions about the direction we're going. My company sponsored me in the CU Executive MBA program. Maybe yours will too.
Go to colorado.edu/executive MBA or call 303-623-1888. 623-1888.
Join us every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on AM 760. We are your 401k rollover and IRA specialist. Give your money the power and protection that you need every Saturday morning, 11 a.m., dollars and cents on AM 760.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. New hope that the construction industry is waking up after so long in the doldrums. The Commerce Department says construction of new homes and apartments climbed 2.8% last month. SRO Financial's Diane Swank says the new numbers arrive on the first anniversary of President Obama's Recovery Act.
We saw housing starts bounce back after a very weak and declines in the fourth quarter. The reason they came back, the extension of the first-time buyer tax credit, and really underscores the enormous role the government is playing in the recovery.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. President Obama and his economic team are emphasizing this is the first anniversary of a two-year program. They count 2 million jobs saved or created by the effort. Billions of dollars in stimulus money, money for thousands of highway projects is still in the pipeline. More tax cuts will kick in over the next 12 months, all aimed at creating more jobs and boosting the overall economy. But Republican critics question the administration's job creation numbers and the results from the stimulus plan.
Well, it could be another major headache for Toyota. As Jeff Gilbert reports, the Japanese auto giant is examining closely a potential problem with its top-selling model.
While Toyota says it will look into issues with the Corolla, they're not ready to recall the vehicle just yet. This comes as there have been complaints of steering problems with Corollas, particularly at speeds of more than 40 miles per hour. Safety investigators in the U.S. are also looking into the issue, and Toyota says it will cooperate fully.
But Toyota's president says he will not appear next week at a congressional hearing on the auto company's problems. He says he will leave that to Toyota's U.S. executives. The Transportation Security Administration's tested it at five airports, and now screeners around the country will begin fanning out, taking chemical swabs from airline passengers and bags to test for explosives. CBS News counterterrorism consultant Paul Kurtz says it's the right move to make.
There is a need to have more of a defense in depth. We can't just really have one spot where all the extensive screening is taking place.
The TSA decision follows the attempt on Christmas Day to blow up a Detroit-bound flight. There's word of a roof collapsing at a building on the Massachusetts military reservation on Cape Cod. A National Guard spokesman says the two workers have been taken to a local hospital. The injuries not considered life-threatening. America's alpine skiing hopes today are pinned on an athlete nursing a sore ankle. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports.
Last week, Lindsey Vonn wasn't even sure she would compete in the Olympics.
It's
probably the worst place that you can have an injury.
Vaughn was recovering from a severely bruised shin. Today, she is set to take part in the most important women's alpine event, the downhill.
I'm really hoping that everything I've worked for pays off.
Before her injury, Lindsey Vaughn was the clear favorite. No American woman has ever won the Olympic downhill. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the Winter Olympics in Vancouver.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 31 points. This is CBS News.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents Mike Rowe talking about eyeballs.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents Mike Rowe talking about something else.
Right, thank you. Look, when I do projects around the house, I'm kind of an eyeball guy.
Uh-huh, eyeballs.
Now, you know what I mean. I hang a picture, I look at it, I eyeball it. Well, you know who doesn't do that? The service technicians at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. They are precise, to the millimeter, to the milliliter. They're thorough. So if you're coming in for brake service or tires or an oil change, you'll be in good hands, meaning not mine.
Get the Works Fuel Saver Package, a Motorcraft oil and filter change, tire rotation, battery test, brake inspection, check of belts and hoses, and more. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
See? Thorough. What do you want for your car? Close enough? Pretty decent? Come on. Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating dealership or visit genuineservice.com for mail-in rebate details through 32710. And we'll keep an eye out for you.
Oof, that's terrible.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Denver Nuggets coach George Karl says he's confident that his throat and neck cancer can be treated and cured.
Cancer is a hell of a competitor, but I'm ready for the challenge. I'll probably have some bad days, but I'm ready for the competition.
Karl announced his new bout with cancer yesterday. He says he will continue coaching, but says treatments may result in him missing some games. The two Democratic candidates vying for U.S. Senate squared off for the first and only debate last night in Denver. Former Colorado House Speaker Andrew Romanoff and incumbent Senator Michael Bennett debated national security, abortion, and health care reform. Political analysts say Bennett's war chest is four times the size of Romanoff's. Colorado lawmakers are considering a bill that would give judges the power to order domestic abusers to stay away from family pets. The measure yesterday won the unanimous backing of the Senate Judiciary Committee. The bill's sponsor says domestic abusers often harm and threaten pets as a way to intimidate their human victims. In sports, all eyes are on Vail's Lindsey Vaughn today. She skis in the women's downhill at the Winter Olympics in Vancouver. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where police in Aurora are mopping up a crash. This is northbound 225 right around Mississippi. Now, as far as the rest of the highways go, southbound I-25, busy downtown. Same deal for westbounders on 36 as you're making your way past, or on the approach, rather, to McCaslin. Surface street accidents, 56th and Pena, as well as Iliff and Peoria. Now, both of those are going to be out of your way shortly. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a mild day, but partly cloudy, with a high of about 42, 43 degrees. Currently already 34. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
With this winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snow plow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
February 17th at 3:30 p.m., 17th and Lincoln Street on the sidewalk. It's being organized by a number of groups, including Jobs with Justice Colorado, the Front Range Economic Strategy Center. So, again, it's today, Wednesday, February 17th at 3:30 p.m., 17th and Lincoln. It's a rally about moving your money out of the big banks. And now we will turn from that to author David, author and doctor David Dosa. He is the author of this book called Making Rounds with Oscar, The Extraordinary Gift of an Ordinary Cat. And The story about this is really an amazing story. Dr. Dosa published an article in 2007, I believe, in the New England Journal of Medicine about this cat at the Steerhouse Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in Rhode Island. And Dr. Dosa has been making the rounds in the national media about his book. Dr. Dosa, tell us what is so extraordinary about Oscar the cat.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks good
for having me on. Oscar is just a cat. He is not a particularly friendly cat. He's certainly not a lap cat and generally just keeps to himself. But he's been a resident of the Steerhouse Nursing and Rehabilitation Center now for about 5 years. And about 6 months to a year after he got there, he started to make visits. In most cases, he would stay out of the way. Likely find him under a bed or behind a medicine trolley hiding somewhere, but then he started to pop up in patients' rooms, and you'd find him curled up next to a resident or seated, perched kind of on the windowsill above a bed, depending on where the bed was in the room. And pretty soon we started to realize that what he was doing was actually holding vigils for patients, that he would identify patients that were terminal on this particular floor and would stay with them until they actually passed on.
So he would effectively identify people who were on the brink of death. And I wonder what you think is going on here. I mean, how is the cat evidently able to identify who is close to death in your mind? I mean, I know there's no definitive answer on that, but I wonder if you have a guess.
Well, you know, I sort of joke with people that obviously I couldn't interview the cat for the purposes of writing the book. But in terms of my thoughts, I think he's probably keying in on a smell of some form or perhaps a pheromone. Or we talk about ketones being released by dying cells. And ketones are fairly fragrant. And there are definitely people who talk about a smell associated with death. And, you know, perhaps Oscar's keying in on that. We have five other cats at this particular facility, and none of them do what Oscar does. So, but obviously humans have various different, some people hear extremely well, others hear not so well, and, you know, vision is different in everybody. So perhaps Oscar's just a little more attuned to a particular smell. At this point, I think there's also a behavioral component. He certainly gets some positive reinforcement for being in the right place at the right time.
Right.
I think, you know, so, perhaps he's continuing on because, you know, he gets praised when he's in the right place. But there are definitely times where, you know, he is the first to know that somebody is ready to move on. So that suggests that it's a little more than behavior.
What's incredible about this, I'm reading from Reuters so far, it says so far that Oscar has accurately predicted about 50 deaths. And it's some would say, oh, well, Oscar's like kind of like this is like the Grim Reaper. And it's like, he's a scary kind of thing. But I wonder what you think the lesson we can learn from Oscar. I mean, is the lesson about animals? Is it about death? Is it about all of these things? What in your book about this extraordinary animal and phenomenon, what do you hope people gain from the book?
Well, you know, I wanted to dispel a little bit of sort of this myth of Oscar as the Grim Reaper or the Grim Creeper, as one headline used. And by doing that, what I tried to do was get the insight of family members who had been there with Oscar and a patient as they were dying. This is obviously a terminal dementia unit, so these patients, unfortunately, are quite ill, and many of them lost the ability to communicate, so they really don't perceive, you know, that a cat on their bed means something, but the families do. Despite the fact that Oscar got this reputation, the message back from all of these families was, you know, this cat was there for us, you know, at a very difficult times in our life. He was a distraction or a comfort, and the idea that, you know, mom or dad could have, a cat curled up with them, in many ways was very comforting to people. So I hope people, you know, will sort of revisit, you know, their thoughts on what Oscar is. You know, this is not a cat who's running around and terrorizing a pediatric ward, or, you know, these unfortunately are very frail elderly patients. But I think it also says a little bit about, you know, our own views on death and dying. It's not something we like to talk about as physicians. We find it very difficult to talk to our patients about death and dying. And, you know, my hope is that people will read the book and learn a little bit about, you know, some of the decisions that are needed at the end of life and, you know, perhaps in a way that's not as confronting, you know, in the sort of wrapped up in the box of, you know, a cat that is there for people at the end of life.
Again, on the line with us is Dr. David Dosa. He's been making the national rounds on media and media venues about his new book, Making Rounds with Oscar. It's about a cat that seems to be able to sense when somebody in the terminal ward or in the nursing home that he's in is about to die. And, you know, when I heard about this story, it kind of confirmed for me something that I already believe, but I know is some people don't really believe it. In that, it confirmed for me that animals really do, in some ways, have a sixth sense that or sixth or seventh sense or senses that we don't have, and that they are that as much as we sometimes commodify animals in our society. Oh, you know, we look at them as commodities. In many ways, although, you know, cats and dogs, maybe not necessarily. Do you think that there is, I don't want to get too weird a space here, but do you think that there is a soul in a lot of these animals or a person or something that's beyond a commodity? Not necessarily, obviously there's not a human in Oscar, but that there's like, that there's actually a personality and a soul. In a lot of the animals that are right in our daily lives?
Well, you know, I think, you know, animals come in all sort of shapes and flavors, and you know, some animals are truly remarkable, and this idea of an animal perceiving something like this is special, but it's not unique. I've heard lots of stories from other people, you know, about their cats, you know, the other Oscars out there, quote-unquote, that do very similar kinds of things. So from a perspective of, you know, whether this is unique or not, I don't think it's as unique as we give it credit for. But, you know, having said that, in terms of, you know, do animals have souls, personalities, you know, I would think you only need to ask a pet owner, you know, what they think about that. And
I've had this debate with, you know, I've had a debate with my friend, and you know, I had a friend over, and he likes animals too, but, and my dog, I said to him, you know, my dog, for instance, I think, I'm almost positive, he can tell when I'm either sick or I'm upset, whether I'm like upset meaning I'm crying or I'm just like not feeling all that good and I haven't said anything. He behaves differently. And my friend was like, oh, you know, you're sort of projecting, you know, it's like, your dog can't sense that. Your dog is just, you know, it's a nice animal, but there's not a lot of cognition going on in there. And when I saw your book, and through, of course, my own belief about my own dog, and maybe I am projecting, maybe not, but I don't think I am. And I think that your book, the story of your book, kind of confirms that. Has that been some of the reaction to your book? Again, the book is Making Rounds with Oscar. Have you gotten that reaction from some people?
Well, I think, you know, I've gotten a wonderful reaction from lots of people and wonderful emails about, you know, I'm so happy you wrote this. You know, it's time for people to accept the fact that animals can do, you know, things like this, and, oh, you know, that we should be listening a little more and perhaps, you know, training our animals to you know, to do some of these things. I mean, you know, you see wonderful stories about animals being able to sniff out cancer or predict, mm-hmm. you know, predict seizures. And, you know, so this idea of predicting death or predicting or picking up on a smell is really not as far-fetched as, you know, some might suggest initially. And, you know, in terms of, you know, where animals stand and, you know, I wholeheartedly agree with you that I mean my dog always used to know growing up when I was sick, and you know, I think I say in the book that Oscar's superpower is empathy more than anything else.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm with you. I don't think that you or me or other pet owners are just imagining or are just projecting, and this book is just a fascinating case study in that. Again, the book is Making Rounds with Oscar, the author, Dr. David Dosa. Dr. Dosa, thank you so much for taking the time, and really, thank you for writing this book.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
9:17 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, U.S. Senator Michael Bennett in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. He is going to be joining President Obama here in Colorado tomorrow. We're going to talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about his debate with former House Speaker Andrew Romanoff last night. Stick around for that after a traffic update with John Turner.
All right, Dave, the only residual traffic now on the freeways is southbound I-25 between 70 and Spear Boulevard. We do have a few crashes, though, still in the cleanup phase, 56th and Pena, that one at Islip and Peoria, which is a T-bone, and also one on northbound 225 approaching Mississippi. So actually we do have a problem on the freeways, but speeds are still looking good as you're traveling between the tech center and trying to get into Aurora. Your forecast today: partly cloudy, breezy, but mild. Highs in the mid to upper 40s. Right now, 33 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Michael Huss is Senior Program Manager of Medtronic in Louisville and a graduate of the CU Executive MBA program.
I was trained as an engineer and enrolled in the CU Executive MBA program because I knew I needed to transform my skill set. I knew people who had graduated from the program and their careers took off. Now I know why. The faculty and staff are top-notch, and the whole experience exceeded my expectations.
Go to colorado.edu/executive MBA or call 303-623-1888. That's 623-1888.
Since OnStar began, we've responded to over 100,000 automatic crash alerts.
OnStar emergency?
Yeah, I just got rear-ended by a semi. There could be injuries. There's a car underneath the semi. Please send an ambulance.
Okay, I will contact 911.
911.
This is OnStar emergency. There is a vehicle crash with injuries off of Interstate 5. The maximum reported Delta V is 16 miles per hour. I have 911 on the line.
Does anyone have any injuries?
I think I've got a concussion. I got drilled.
Okay, we have police and a medic coming to check you out.
With built-in automatic crash response, an OnStar advisor can use GPS technology to locate you and share crash details, which could help save your life.
This guy got lucky. His car is completely totaled underneath the semi, and where he was sitting was the only part that wasn't destroyed. The sheriff, our department's on the scene.
I hope that everything will be okay with you.
I appreciate your help.
OnStar is standard for the first year on 15 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. Winter driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions clear.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
The sound bites that people hear playing over their cable TV or on the Senate floor are not doing anything to help that issue. And I think the president is going to be, I would expect him to be very clear that we've got some incredibly difficult choices in front of us. And I think people want to hear that message because they feel like nothing's getting done for them.
Yesterday in the debate with Andrew Romanoff, your opponent in the Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate in 2010, we just talked to Joe Trippi, who was Andrew Romanoff's one of his top campaign strategists, who said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but who said that the choice for voters is really revolves around the issue of money in politics. And it was a pretty stark comment that, that Trippi had made. And I know that this issue came up yesterday in the debate. They're trying to portray you as the candidate who represents big money. They point to the contributions you've taken from Wall Street. They say that you're a Washington insider. What is your response?
My response is that, anybody that looks at my voting record, I think, wouldn't reach that conclusion. Anybody who saw the letter that I sent out yesterday to Harry Reid calling for a public option, wouldn't reach that conclusion. My vote on drug reimportation wouldn't reach that conclusion. The vote on credit card reform wouldn't reach that conclusion. I think this is a manufactured issue. And by the way, This is not, in the hundreds of town hall meetings that I've had and conversations I've had in people's living rooms across the state, people are losing their jobs, losing their houses, worrying about how they're going to pay for their kids' college education. That's what they're talking about. They're not talking about what Joe Trippi's talking about, and I don't think Joe Trippi spent much time in Colorado, so I'm not surprised that he doesn't know that.
Again, 922 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo with U.S. Senator Michael Bennett. And,
Sensei Bennett. Don't diminish the title.
don't diminish the dojo. You're right. Sensei Bennett. And to your letter yesterday that got a lot of attention in the news, you've sent a letter now to Harry Reid saying that you and three other senators signed it as well, saying that you would like the Senate to use the 51-vote reconciliation process to move forward a public option. And congratulations to you for doing that. I really appreciate, and I'm sure a lot of listeners appreciate you doing that. My question that goes beyond the public option. When we look at what's going on and what's not really going on in Washington in terms of all the issues you just mentioned, where they're not getting stuff done on jobs, not getting stuff done on health care, et cetera, is it because, should we take away from your letter the idea that it is because in part, that the Democratic leadership has not been willing to go all the way to the wall and use all of the tools, including reconciliation, at its disposal?
I think that's part of it. I think what my takeaway is that the place is utterly dominated by special interests and who are desperately anxious to keep the status quo the same because it works well for them. And we have, you know, the Senate as an institution is clearly broken. Somehow we've managed to find ourselves in the position of being attacked on the one hand for overreaching at the same time that we're being attacked for not getting anything done. And it seems to me that the answer to that is to begin to get some things done. Let's pass a public option. Let's strip the insurance companies of their antitrust exemption. Let's put some simple bills in front of people and call the question. I think that's what we need to do is call the question.
In Indiana Senator Evan Bayh, who just announced his retirement, he was complaining when he announced his retirement that there's not enough bipartisanship. And it seems to me that there's one or the other situation going on here, and maybe I have it wrong, maybe I don't, but it seems you got one set of politicians saying, look, if we can just work together, if we can just reach out, and we heard this after the Massachusetts race, President Obama saying, we need to reach out more to the Republicans, and that's the way we'll get things done. Then you hear the other side, some other folks saying, no, what needs to be done is the Democrats need to not reach out, they need to use the power that they have right now and muscle as much of their agenda that they promised through. Now, it seems to me that it's one or the other, and I don't subscribe to the former because I don't think the Republicans want to work with you guys. What do you think?
Well, I think you and I may have a disagreement about this, which is that I think that the American people, and I think the people in Colorado, Democrats, Republicans, and Democrats, would much rather see bipartisanship than not. But what they really want to see more than anything else is some results here. And I think I'm less focused on the process questions than I am on what the outcomes are.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I'm asking whether you think, are those mutually exclusive? Is getting results, can you get results and also be bipartisan? Because it seems to me that if you put bipartisanship at the top priority, you're not going to get anything done because the Republicans don't want to work with you.
I think the top priority needs to be outcomes. And I think that it would be wonderful if those outcomes could be delivered in a bipartisan way. So far, there's not a lot of evidence that's going to happen. But, you know, yesterday I was with somebody who worked for Bobby Kennedy in the 60s and who was recounting the civil rights battles that were going on in the 60s and reminding me that those civil rights bills back then wouldn't have passed without Republican support. And it would be nice if we could get to a place where the parties in this country stood on principle and which they don't, by the way, right now, and I think that goes for both parties, stood on principle and enacted legislation that actually would make a difference in the lives of Americans. If people are more interested in scoring political points, if they're more interested in partisanship, we still have to find a way to get it done, and if we have to go it alone, we'll have to go it alone.
Do you think it's fair for, and you hear this from some Democratic political aides, you hear it even sometimes from the White House itself, do you think it's fair for people to say, well, look, you know, the Republicans, they've abused the filibuster. Let's stipulate that that's absolutely true. But you hear this a lot that the Democrats now, without 60 votes, and even with 60 votes, they don't have the power to pass a lot of what they want, supposedly want to pass. And I look at it and I say, and I think a lot of people say, look, the Democrats, even if they don't have 60 votes, they've got a majority in the Senate and the House that's historically huge. So do you think it's fair for it to be a defense, the Democratic Party, to defend itself by saying, hey, we just don't have the power to pass what we want to pass, even though we really want to?
No, I really don't think that's fair. I think that we've been sent there to do work on behalf of the American people, and we need to find a way to get it done. You know, David, to be honest with you, when you look at the 60 votes we did have, we never really had 60 votes. And one of the things I said in the letter that I sent to Harry Reid yesterday was that there a whole bunch of health care legislation has been passed through reconciliation by Democrats and Republicans. COBRA was that was passed with reconciliation. Medicare Part D was passed with reconciliation. SCHIP, the children's health care, was passed with reconciliation. So I think that we have to untangle ourselves from a process that's clearly broken and begin to deliver for the American people.
Come the Democratic primary, this is a two-part question. What do you think are going to be the defining questions in the Democratic primary, the defining debate, if there is one or two things? And then same question for the general election. What do you think the election is really going to pivot on?
You know, I really think in both cases the answer to that is the same, which is which candidate is more likely to bring constructive change, and which candidate is more likely to perpetuate the kind of political food fight that we're having in Washington. That, I think, is what it's going to come down to. I really do. I don't think that the politics, the sort of the nihilistic politics that are being played on the other side here are going to stand the test of a vigorous campaign that says we need to do better than hand our kids an economy that doesn't work for most people. They hand them a public education system that doesn't work for a lot of people, healthcare system that doesn't work for a lot of people, and a staggering deficit and staggering debt. And a bunch of cheap rhetoric is not going to solve any of those issues.
U.S. Senator Michael Bennett, Sensei Bennett, here in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. Thank you for taking the time this morning. I just want to say I'm not going to put you on the spot to answer yet, but we are inviting you, and we are inviting Andrew Romanoff to come on our show at some point before the primary together to do a debate, whether it was in phone or on the phone or in person. So just consider that, and we're putting out the same invite to Andrew Romanoff. And as always, we appreciate your time here in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. It's always good to talk to you.
Thanks, David. Great to talk to you.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
All right. That was U.S. Senator Michael Bennett. Again, he's going to be here in Denver with President Obama tomorrow. He just debated Andrew Romanoff last night. You heard him go back and forth there. I thought that was pretty interesting. We told him what Joe Trippi had said, and he responded pretty forcefully there. I wonder what you think about that. 303-713-7600. 303-713-7600. We can discuss that. And you can instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Send us your thoughts on that. A pretty forceful answer by him. We'll get to your calls. We'll get to your instant messages after we talk. Up next, with Alan Pendergast of Westword, he has the cover story in Westword about how a Colorado jury issued a massive, massive punitive damages award against an insurance company for denying benefits to one of its supposed beneficiaries. The story suggests that people are really, really angry, punitively angry, at the healthcare industry. So we'll get into it with Alan Pendergast after a traffic update with John Turk.
All right, Dave. Got a new crash northbound I-25 at 84th Avenue. That's causing some problems there. Stop and go kind, basically between 84th and Thornton Parkway. Also got a crash northbound 225 as you get close to Mississippi. Small delays back around Iliff. Also, just cleaned up that earlier crash at 56th and Pena. And a little sluggish downtown, southbound I-25 from Park Avenue past Spear Boulevard in the high country on I-70. You might see some patchy ice and slush between Georgetown and Vail. The forecast today is going to be a mix of sun and clouds, light winds, high around 46 degrees, currently 33 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
If you sell your gold through the mail to some out-of-town stranger, you're getting ripped off. Take it to Fast Cash, and you'll get 40% more in cash and on the spot. Want to get what your gold's really worth? Get a quote from Fast Cash before you sell. Visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
Join Weight Watchers for free right now and learn how to handle the big game and hungry cheering you on to inhale all the cheesy puffs. Learn how to master parties, lose weight, and keep it off. Join for free today and you win. Hungry loses. Call 1-800-START-NOW or visit WeightWatchers.com. Weight Watchers. Stop dieting. Start living. Registration fee waived. Must pay meetings fees. Valid in participating areas only. Hurry, offer ends March.
Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems. A winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
Hey, it's Dave Sirota. You've got to visit the Yak and Yeti restaurant and brew pub. It's absolutely the best place in town to get incredible Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth, and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill, theyakandyeti.com.
When I talk with folks, they know GEICO could save them hundreds on their car insurance. But what they want to know is how GEICO does it. Well, I say, we got tons of great discounts, like good driver discounts, multi-car discounts. And they say, there's no secret formula. And I say, nah, it's just what we do. And then sometimes they say, maybe a talking gecko's a secret. Well, I wouldn't know what to say about that.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership, visit GenuineService.com or call 1-877-310-3673 for details through 12-31-10. Competitors ad required.
This is Lori from the Dollars and Cents Show for Women. Join us every Saturday for Financial Straight Talk at 12:30 on AM 760. Dollars and Cents for Women is the place to tune in for financial tips, stories, and advice this Saturday at 12:30 on AM 760.
Nine 34 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. If you hear a couple long pauses, it's only because I'm coughing. And I don't want to cough in your face, so I apologize for that. Usually now I'm finding with this cold, in the third hour I'm like basically choking because I got this cough. And now I sound like I'm whining, so I apologize for that. It is 34 degrees out there. We're going to get some snow in the forecast. On my computer, it says snow in the forecast Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. February. That's classic for February. I can't say we can't expect it. And it's probably good. We need the precipitation. All right. Joining us now is Alan Pendergast. His new article on the cover of Westword magazine, Healthcare Hell. The insurance company didn't give a damn. The jury decided it ought to give $37 million. So a Colorado jury getting real angry at a health insurance company. And Alan has the entire story. Alan, thanks for taking the time. Tell us the story. Tell us what the claim was. Tell us what happened in the court case, and tell us why what the jury did is such news.
Well, thanks, David. It's news on a couple of fronts. It's an amazing story just on a personal level with this woman's ordeal. This is a woman in she lived in Longmont at the time, named Jennifer Latham, who, mother of four, she and her husband were on a trip to the grocery store one day, and they get broadsided by a meth dealer who's fleeing police and very badly injured, both of them. We're talking about a lot of shattered bones, internal injuries, as well as brain injuries. And her husband did not have health insurance at the time. She did, or so she thought. She had signed up with a policy for her and her children from a company called Assurant Health, which also is known as Time Insurance Fortis. It's a very large, very long established firm. And,
if I can interject there, you know, I was on Assurant, by the way.
You.
I was on Assurant as a temporary, they do short term,
right,
if you're between jobs kind of policy. I was actually on Assurant, I think, less than a year ago. And so when I read this story, I was like, whoa, you know, it really hit home because I had been on that company's insurance
policy. This is a company that is the oldest provider of these individual medical policies. The short-term ones, what they call gap coverage, people between jobs, or if your employer doesn't offer health insurance. I mean, what do? If you can't get into a group plan, you have to go for these higher individual policies, which have a lot of weird exclusions and so on. But the issue here wasn't that she had some pre-existing condition or there was some loophole. What Assurant is notorious for is rescinding policies when big claims come in. In other words, they don't just say, you know, I mean, in this case, clearly, they could say it's a pre-existing condition. She's injured in an auto accident. But what they did say was, you know, we've gone through this in what we do, which is called post-claim underwriting. When a claim comes in, we go back and we look more carefully at your health information and your health history, and we compare it to what you said on the application. And there's a couple things in your medical records that weren't disclosed on the application. Therefore, we think you committed fraud. Therefore, we're rescinding your policy. We don't have to pay anything. And they essentially did this to this woman at a time when, you know, she was facing massive medical bills. She was recovering from a brain injury. And they're telling her essentially, look, we're not going to pay you. She had an attorney who had been hired to deal with the issues around this auto accident. And it turned out to be this guy named Mark Levy, who usually defends insurance companies. He looked at this letter from them and he said, this is, you know, the worst bad faith case I've ever seen. And the further he looked into it, he saw that they do this all the time.
How much are we talking about here for this woman? I mean,
we're talking about $200,000 in medical bills.
All right, so essentially, Assurant makes the bet effectively. They make a bet, a $200,000 bet. They're saying, look, we're gonna bet that we're gonna try to keep $200,000, and that the person will either go to court and lose or settle for less than $200,000. So they make this $200,000 bet. The person who was injured in this accident, who was under their coverage, they make this bet to rescind her coverage. She then takes it to court. What happens?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically a couple things happened. It took four or five years to get to court, so you know that that's a pretty good bet they're making. Most people will not get that far.
What typically happens, by the way?
Well, what typically happens is these cases settle, or they never get a lawyer. They go away. I mean,
just get screwed.
Yeah, the attorney says, look, 95 times out of 100, the people are just going to go away. Very few of them will get lawyers, especially lawyers with the resources to fight an insurance company for as long as it takes. On the EVA trial, they offered a settlement of $1 million. And I have to think that, I mean, I know that there are more cases than this. Very few of them get to trial. They must settle out of court, and they must be ahead of the game doing this. Their CEO has testified. They saved $150 million over 5 years doing rescissions. They have an entire
$150 million by doing things just like this.
Yeah, I mean, they have an entire division that does nothing but basically look at claims as they come in and figure out ways to rescind policies. They do. They have a two-hour meeting every week. They've done as many as over 100 rescissions in those 2 hours. So you know they're not really looking at the medical records. That works out.
I mean, this is really a frightening thing, a whole division that's designed to strip people of the coverage that they have.
So why did the jury get so angry? I mean, they saw this in action. Essentially what happened at trial was the Assurant brought in the people who do these rescissions to defend them, and the jury listened to these people unemotionally sort of explain the bottom line thinking behind doing this and trying to justify why they rescinded this woman's insurance on very flimsy evidence. I mean, clearly there was no fraud. The jury found that this woman was completely credible. She hadn't intended to misrepresent anything. This application business of things that are not disclosed is a game of gotcha that they can basically revoke anybody's insurance because there's always going to be something that they consider not disclosed or the way they construe their policy. So the jury saw all this, and I did talk to two members of the jury after this, and I think it was a slam dunk for them. It was really just a question of how badly to punish this company. They really wanted to send a message.
And they ended up awarding $37 million in punitive damages. And again, on the line with us is Alan Pendergast. He's the author of the cover story in Westward about this jury decision. And I think to me, when I read this story, two things come out of this story. The first thing that comes out of this story is the whole sub-industry inside the insurance industry designed to deny you claims and in particular deny big claims. The second thing that comes out of this is the value and the use of punitive damages. I mean, we have heard in this country for the last 5-10 years from, especially from the right, that, oh, punitive damages are awful and we gotta cap punitive damages. And when you read your story, what you come away learning, or not even learning, knowing, is that punitive damages are designed not to, I mean, not there. There's what you compensate the victim in a situation like this with, and then punitive damages are designed to create a deterrent to the company in question and to the industry as a whole, to say to the effectively the entire insurance industry that if you continue to do this kind of thing, you are going to face really, really serious punishment. And I come away thinking this is a perfect example of exactly why punitive damages shouldn't be capped, because this is one of the most effective ways, short of health care reform, to tell insurance companies that there's going to be a cost for you trying to rip people off.
Well, and the jury, in this case, I mean, this is a very smart jury. They were aware that this isn't just somebody that sort of inflamed and says, oh, let's give this woman all the money in the world. They were aware that this company had been fined before. I mean, Colorado alone had fined $90,000 a couple of years ago, $38,000 before. This is just chicken feed to a company that, you know, this is an $8 billion company. They were aware that Connecticut had fined them $2 million. They were aware that there was a damage award in South Carolina. They didn't know how much. This was a $10 million punitive award, and that simply failed to get their attention. So I think, you know, they realized that everything else had not really worked. The system that's supposed to regulate these companies doesn't work when the profit motive is so strong that they can afford, basically, to settle a lot of these cases out of court, and they're still going to come out ahead because so many of these cases, they save so much money on the claims they don't pay. The company's position is, well, gee, we only rescind 0.5% of our policies. But if you look at the number of percentage of people who make claims that they rescind, it's actually a much, much greater one. What they really want is what every insurance company wants, which is just to insure healthy people.
They want policies. They want people who pay premiums but who never make claims.
Yeah, they want to collect the premiums and never have to pay a claim. I mean, who wouldn't want a business like that? That's just money coming in all the time.
Exactly. And again, I'm aligned with this. This is Alan Pendergast's article in Westward, the cover story, Healthcare Hell. The insurance company didn't give a damn. The jury decided it ought to give $37 million. It's linked on our website at am760.net. What is the takeaway from this? I mean, do you think Assurant will continue this specific company? Will it continue its policy of rescinding policies effectively? Do you think it will change its behavior? Do you think an award like this has any possibility of changing industry behavior?
Well, I guess part of that's going to be we'll see how far the award stands. I mean, there are caps in Colorado, and this award will have to be adjusted, but it's kind of unclear which way it'll go because the judge, while they have to make it a one-to-one, the punitive to the compensatory damages, which would knock it down a few million, the judge can also then turn around and triple it if they find that if the judge finds that this company has continued to you know, do the same harmful conduct. And then you'll have to see what the appeals process does. I mean, obviously, this woman's not getting a check tomorrow. She's still going to remain where she is, which is, you know, kind of financially ruined and trying to survive, you know, these injuries for years yet before this case will be resolved. But I think if the judge and the appeals courts uphold this, I think it does send a message. I think within this company, since there are other lawsuits brewing out of this kind of behavior, they've got to be thinking, what do we do about this? How do we adjust what we do? I think it sends a message to a certain degree. I think, you know, it may also help. I would like to see how this plays out when people revisit the healthcare legislation.
Yeah, well, bottom line, though, the scary part about it is it doesn't change the fundamental economics yet.
No.
Of health, of the health insurance economy, where it's still, I gotta believe that in even one company that's this big, that it's still, there's gonna be executives of that company who still believe, and maybe mathematically so, that it's more worth their while, more beneficial to the company's bottom line, to continue this effort to rescind policies for people when they make serious claims.
You know, I think you're right, David, that one case is not going to change this, but I think this is part of a continuum. There are a number of other lawsuits that are, you know, obviously this case lit up the boards around the country. Other attorneys are looking at this.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is it possible that this case creates a snowball effect in other parts of the country, in other juries, in other cases?
I think that there's going to be more, you know, active research on the part of lawyers who take these kinds of cases to sort of say, what can we do about this? Because they're really leaving the door wide open until they do something internally to you know, change their procedures. And, you know, most of the cases aren't going to be as dramatic as this from the standpoint of the degree of damage that's involved. And, you know, a lot of health problems are more ambiguous than what this woman has.
Right, but this is a crystal clear example.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're probably not going to be as easy kind of cases. But it seems to me that at some point there does get to be momentum behind something like this. And this case coming on top of this South Carolina case, which was a $10 million judgment, suggests to me it's only going to get worse for them. So, I think this is being talked about. In fact, I know it's being talked about at the headquarters of this company. I was getting emails from employees.
Oh, I bet you were.
Who were saying, I am so miserable here. I work for a bunch of soulless people, you know. I read your article, and, you know, I mean, this is just exactly what we do, and I just can't believe we do this.
Well, congratulations on the journalism in this piece. It's really important that this story get out there, and you did a great job with it. Again, Alan Pendergast, his article is the cover story in Westward. It's linked on our website, am760.net. Alan, thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you, David.
Good to talk to you. 9:48 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. All right, we're going to open up the phones, 303-713-7600. What'd you think about Michael Bennett going back and forth with Joe Trippi? He sort of smacked down Joe Trippi, said, no, the election is not about money and politics. Joe Trippi saying it is about money and politics, and Trippi saying that Michael Bennett's a Washington insider. What do you think about that? What do you think about this punitive damage award? Too much? Or does this reaffirm your belief, it certainly reaffirms my belief, that we need punitive damages in this country to try to get industries like this under control, punitive damages as an instrument for saying to business, you can't rip people off. And speaking of business, we had Jack Palmer on, the state representative who's pushing those series of bills to repeal those corporate tax exemptions here in state. He was on the floor of the House, the Colorado House, saying businesses don't care about Colorado. They only care about their own profits. Do you think he's right or wrong? We'll open up the AM760 Progressive Dojo. Take your calls, 303-713-7600, after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic is really kind of stalled for us. Northbound I-25 up in Thornton. Have a crash near 84th, so you're going to start hitting the jams around Thornton Parkway. Also got a crash in Mississippi in 225. And another one, a new one, southbound Colorado at Evans. That's a pretty heavy intersection there, right south of I-25. If you're traveling in and out of the high country, you might run into some icy conditions on I-70 between about Georgetown, taking you up past Vail into Eagle County. Your forecast today, mostly sunny, a few clouds, but mild, highs in the mid-upper 40s. Right now we're sitting at 39 degrees here in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
You made Subway footlongs famous, so we're making any regular footlong a $5 footlong. That's right, any regular made-to-order footlong is $5. Hurry in. Subway, eat fresh. Excludes premium subs, prices, and participation may vary.
Turn right in 1/2 mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now.
But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides me step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund. Guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen.
and prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Grow your hair thicker, stronger, longer, and faster, or get your money back, guaranteed.
Since I've been using Ovation, I've noticed a significant difference in the texture and shine, and my hair has grown at least 2.5 inches. Ovation does all it claims to do. I'd recommend Ovation to everyone, and I do.
Log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special discount. That's OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for real results. Guaranteed. Ovation works.
Tuna melt and fries.
Good.
Tuna melt and fries with 3% cash back.
This is great.
Tuna melt and fries with 3% cash back and no interest.
Delicious.
Anywhere you eat, from takeout to sit-down, you'll get 3% cash back when you use Chase Freedom today. Avoid interest on everyday purchases by paying in full with Blueprint. This is more than a cash back card. It's freedom. Enroll now at chase.com/freedom.
Chase cards issued by Chase Bank USA NA and are subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply.
It's quite a proposition when you think about it. You contact GEICO and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. 15 minutes, simple as that. Something they've been doing for over 70 years. You want car insurance and you want extra money in your wallet, done and done. Now, not only do you have some nice car insurance, you've got plenty of money to spend on some tasty biscuits. Or flowers for your mum. Or whatever it is you fancy.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We waited long for this day.
953 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. We're going to open up the phones now. We heard Michael Bennett and Joe Trippi kind of go back and forth. Joe Trippi, of course, the campaign manager for, was the campaign manager for Howard Dean, now is a top strategist for Andrew Romanoff, Senator Bennett's opponent in the primary. If you want to weigh in on that, also, if you'd like to weigh in on President Obama coming to campaign for Michael Bennett, feel free to weigh in on that. And, of course, Representative Jack Palmer from Boulder making headlines this morning for having said yesterday that businesses don't care about Colorado. He's the author of the bill to repeal some of those corporate tax exemptions. Do you think he's right or wrong? 303-713-7600. We'll go to April in Westminster. Hey, April.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing?
All right.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to say that, you know, I do have a ticket to go to this event tomorrow with Obama. But right now I'm really conflicted about it because I'm bothered by the fact that he's coming to his head down and stumping for one Democrat against another in a primary. Particularly, you know, I agree with Joe Trippi about the fact that I think Romanoff might be a stronger person in the Senate to push Obama's agenda. And if that's true, you know, why would he come in and stump for the other guy? So that's my comment.
Well, I think it's a fair question. You know, I mean, I'm of two minds on this. I mean, obviously the president has every right to tell Democrats who he supports. I mean, you know, every individual, whether they're in state or out of state, has that right. That said, I also think that the White House trying to choose winners in primaries, there's something a little bit uncomfortable about that. It's like, why can't we just allow democracy to work without big outside interests coming in to try to distort the election? And I don't mean to liken the White House to, let's say, an outside corporate interest in the sense of what they're motivated by. Corporate interest is motivated by trying to influence an election to maximize its own profit. The White House is trying to, you know, they've got political reasons. But the idea still stands. The idea that there are a lot of power players in American politics, whether it's politicians or corporations or other special interests, that don't simply want to let democracy just work, that don't trust democracy, small d democracy. And so I agree with you. I think there's something a little bit distasteful about the White House political operation, not saying, look, we trust Colorado Democratic voters to pick the candidate that they want. There's something a little bit distasteful about the White House saying we want to effectively make the choice on behalf of Colorado Democratic voters. And I don't think you're wrong to feel to not be happy with that. Especially, by the way, and let me add this point. Especially when we're talking about, you know, two very qualified candidates, no matter what side of this Romanoff-Bennett debate you're on, both of them are very qualified candidates, right? It's not like the White House is coming in weighing in on the behalf of one guy who's really qualified against another guy who'd be some disaster or is totally unqualified, right? Andrew Romanoff, if you like him, if you don't like him, you can't say he's not qualified to be the Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate. So, April, I wouldn't beat yourself up for feeling uneasy about it. I think you're right to feel uneasy about it. And frankly, I think a lot of people feel uneasy about it. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's go to Tim in Fort Collins. Tim, you're on AM 760.
Good morning, David. Good
morning.
Get well soon. We need your voice.
Thanks, man.
At the end of January, Michael Bennett came to Fort Collins, and then subsequently he went to Greeley, and I raised that Joe Trippi issue. That is, with his Wall Street money, is he able to do the regulation? And his response was pretty much like he had it today. Look at my record. The idea of people not raising it in the homes and in these meetings is not quite right.
Yeah, and you know, you got to expect him to say that. I don't necessarily think he was being dishonest. I do think a lot of people are probably talking his ear off about jobs and the like. But I agree with you that, whether Bennett wants to acknowledge it or not, the influence of money is a real issue, and I think it's really on the minds of people. And I hope that he realizes that as this campaign goes on, because it's going to be an issue whether he likes it or not. Good, very good point, Tim. Thanks for the call. Errol and Greeley. Errol, you got about 30 seconds. Fire away, buddy.
Well, I attended a town hall with Michael Bennett. I asked him point blank if he was going to support working people and the EFCA, and he said that the people that were supporting him and backing him told him that it'd be a bad idea and he couldn't support EFCA. As far as I'm concerned, the man is a corporate limmer. You don't take $4 million from special interests and complain about the special interests.
You know, Errol, and the thing is, I just want to reiterate what I said. I think you're right. I think he's got to address the issue of how much money he's taken from Wall Street. He's got to acknowledge it head on and not pretend that it's not an issue, because I think, as you said, it's going to be an issue. All right, that's the show for today. We'll see you tomorrow. In the meantime, I'll be trying to get well.
This year, stop making resolutions that don't work and start losing weight with a plan that does. Weight Watchers Online. It's Weight Watchers, but it's completely online with 31,000 food options, 1,800 recipes, and restaurant guides.